This is Rugby League on Proper Sport.
Good evening and welcome. It's that time of week again where we're talking 2 hours rugby league chat. Scoey's just nicked me paper, right, as I was going to do the intro. That's teamwork for you there, and it's all about Scoey. I'm sure I'll have plenty to say this weekend. Hull beating Leeds. No sympathy for Leeds. Beaten again in Jamie Jones Buchanan's 400th game. Salford battered Wakefield. Oh, we're getting hammered on social media this weekend. So I didn't give Salford enough credit. Scoey, Richard, Phil and I could have beaten Wakefield on Friday night. They were awful. Absolutely awful. And what we'll say, Salford, yeah, you played very well. But you didn't have to play that well to beat them. And there's more to come from Salford. That was my point. Salford didn't get out of second gear and still won. What does Field Giants, have they given up? Have they just said put us in the championship? What's happening? Eh? They're waving the white flag. 66-4 at St Helens. I tell you what, if you were in line to be the coach of Huddersfield, you wouldn't get on the plane, would you? Wigan beat Castleford. Big win for Wigan. They are on a roll. 2 points off the top. And they've got a game in hand. The Warriors flying and tying up some young talent for the foreseeable future. In the Ladbrokes Challenge Cup, round 5. So near yet so far for York City Knights. Between themselves and League One proud. A crowd of over 3,000. Saw them push the Dragons all the way. The Vikings beat the Bears. Broncos humbled by Lee. Rovers nil Oldham. Toronto just scraped past Barrow. The Wolves beat the Bulls. And Doncaster just edged out by Featherstone. Good win for Whitehaven as well. Halifax win again in the Championship. We'll be looking at all that and more at RL on RY on Twitter. You can get in touch via the Proper Sport Facebook page. This is Proper Sport Rugby League. It's Mark, Gary, Phil and Richard with you through until 8.
You're listening to Rugby League on Proper Sport.
Hello, are we all well?
Yeah, very well, mate, yeah.
Good win for the Cougars. I forgot to mention that in my extensive build-up there.
Yeah, good win for the Cougars, yeah. And I say you're pretty competitive, that League One. But first of all, mate, I just want to, the game itself, I lost two big characters this week, certainly from, in Australia and also two over at St. Helens Way. And Dal Eastleg, I tell you what, I met Dal when he got selected for the 84 tour. An absolute huge, huge person, not just his stature, but also too in the commentators' box on there. And massive, massive star. Put the rugby league world on the map with his commentary from there. And a huge personality character. So he will be sadly missed from the game down under. And also as well, my good friend Roy Haggerty. And as I say, Roy, unfortunately, 58 years of age, passed away yesterday morning. Brilliant player, Roy. Tough as what they come. A great character. And as I say, I just want to say my condolences certainly to the Haggerty family from there, because as I say, a part of a quality St Helens side back in late 70s, early 80s, from their great centre partnership with him and Chris Arkwright from there, and play with quality players in Neil Holden, Harry Pinner. But yeah, very sad for Roy, and he'll be sadly missed.
Yeah, fair play. Thank you for that, Gary, as always. Phil, have you had a good week?
Yeah, enjoyed it. I think we saw a quality game on Thursday night between Hull and Leeds. Haven't seen too many games that have really excited, and that one went right down to the wire. Full credit to Hull in finding a way to win it. And again, the issues will no doubt be raised at Headingley of getting into games but not being able to finish them off, which is uncharacteristic. Disappointed a little bit with Castleford on Friday and their second half performance. I think absolutely full credit to Wigan, and particularly their left hand side. That was just a joy to watch, the Gildart Burgess combination. But the worry, if you were Darrell Powell, I suspect, would be another second half fade out. Enjoyed a real under 11s game on Saturday morning, and full credit particularly to the lads from Methley that came over to North Leeds. A lovely game, played in great spirit. Very heartening that sometimes we spend too much time around the professional ranks and debate players' behaviour and wasting time on the field. But when you get two under 11 sides that play the game the way it should be played, and everybody's respectful of a very young referee in the middle, it's an absolute joy. So enjoyed that. I enjoyed watching York and their performance against Catalan. I think no doubt we'll debate the whys and wherefores of the Challenge Cup in these rounds, and what we can take from it, but certainly to get over 3,000 fans to a game, more than Salford got for their Super League match on a Friday night. I think says something about the way York are going as a club. So yeah, all in all, not a bad weekend.
Good stuff. What about you, Richard?
Well, first of all, I want to apologise to the viewers on Facebook because Tom Maguire's moved me, and then whenever Phil speaks and I move forward, you can see my head very large. So apologies for that. Well, I watched the Beeston Broncos versus Bronte Barbarians yesterday morning. I think it was under 7s or under 8s, I can't remember. But that was better than Wakefield as well, even when it got to 3 aside because of injuries. But that's my new idea now. We've seen 100 ball cricket coming in. 3 aside rugby, it's the future.
Mm.
Perfect for the people who don't like rugby to come and watch three people run at each other.
Good stuff.
But Salford were all right, weren't they?
Salford were good, yeah. I want to reiterate, I was getting abused by Salford fans on Friday night. I'll come to that in a minute, but because, boys, we're not far away from the Pontefract Racecourse, third annual Rugby League evening on Monday the 11th of June. And of course, proper Rugby League is brought to you in association with Pontefract Racecourse. Meet the players, coaches from Castleford Tigers, Wakefield Trinity, Huddersfield Giants and Featherstone Rovers will all be coming along. Great night racing on offer, 6 top quality races, including the Mr. Wolf Sprint, which commemorates one of the all-time Ponty greats. Bring your season ticket along and get grandstand and paddock entry to Pontefract's Rugby League evening for just £10, or with VIP tickets at £42 for adults and £10 for children. It's a perfect chance to get close and to your Rugby League favourites. For more details or to book, visit pontefract-races.co.uk. The world will be wanting to know, Scott, are you now on Gmail? Because obviously last week we had the revelation that you'd found Gmail on your phone. I mean, are you now a technophobe? Is it all working?
No, still don't know how to do it.
We'll move on. Then.
Move on. No, the conversation's not even getting anywhere.
It's fair enough. It's been a controversial week, hasn't it, since we last spoke? Mainly around the city of Hull, if we're going to be brutally honest.
It's a goldfish bowl.
It's a goldfish bowl. Yeah, it is. Thomas Minns failed a drug test announced last week, and he clearly has his problems, a young man. We've got our stance is pretty clear on this show, Gary, isn't it, regarding drugs?
He's
whatever the circumstances, he's been a silly boy, hasn't he?
He is, and again, I'm not buying into the scenario for the reasons why he's done it. I'm not, and you know, the leader of the Rugby Players Association, Carvel, as well, has come out as well, and we need to support him, and it's a society problem. Well, listen, no, I'm just not buying into this scenario. No, you're a sportsman, you're a professional sportsman, you know exactly what you can do, and you know exactly what you can't do, and the circumstances, what he's saying from there, I just find it, and I've got to be honest with you, it's pathetic, because you just cannot, being a professional sportsman, take drugs. And until we start now laying down a situation where if you get caught, whether it's recreational drugs and certainly performance enhancing, because it ain't performance enhancing, they reckon it's all right to do it. No, it's not. So now, you know, we've had four players, right, in less than 12 months, or maybe just over 12 months, as we know, with Walker, Chase, still waiting for Zach Harder, Hardacre, and now Minns. And so Minns, he wants a personal hearing to say for the circumstances. Well, I'm sorry. No, I can reassure you now. If I was on that board giving out, he would be getting, we need to stop this. We need to, prevention is the cure. And how you prevent this is by stamping out and giving healthy bans. Now, it should be 4 years. Give it, if they won't ban them for life, but give them 4 years. Give them 4 years, the prevention stops it, and I'm not buying into excuses. I hate drugs, cannot stand drugs, whether it's recreation or performance enhancing, and I'm not having any excuses.
I've got two big issues on this, and I've always been told, and I have spoken to people of a scientific background, that I've been taught, if it is cocaine he's taken, we don't know, we're speculating on that, because we are still awaiting an actual official statement from the Rugby Football League about it. He's failed a drug test, right, for drugs he took on a Sunday. Now, if it is cocaine, and I'm only speculating if it is cocaine, an educated guess would say it is. I am told that would be out of his system by Tuesday, maybe Wednesday at the latest. He played on Thursday night and failed a drug test, which says to me, potentially, that the reasons or the story given does not actually marry up with the scientific fact. And I would like that to be proven. I think that needs to be proven. Because if he is shall we say, being liberal with the truth, then he needs the book thrown at him. But I agree he needs help. The one issue I have got a problem with here, right, and we're all four normal blokes, and if we have bad news or we're worried about something in our own way, we will all have our own way of dealing with that. Be that going out and having 10 pints and having an argument with someone in the pub, which is probably what a normal bloke would do. If you're a gambler, I guess you have bad news, you go, you gamble, that's what you do. You have a default setting, what you will do. You know, for Richard, it might be walking around the house kicking his programmes. Oh, I don't know what he does, he doesn't drink, I don't know what he does. But what, when do you reach out and take drugs?
Uh-huh.
And he's sort of saying, oh, yeah, they're readily available. All right, I could give you a list of five people now. I'll go get some. I could probably go get my hands on some. But at what point do you make the decision, I'm going to go get some drugs now because that's just what I need at this moment in time? That's all I'm going to do with my career. I'm just going to go get some drugs. I might as well flush them down the toilet with my career. I don't get it.
No,
if you'd have gone out and had 12 pints, right, and had an argument and got into a scrap in town, you can say the guy's emotionally
wrecked.
That's
a normal reaction, correct.
That is the reaction of a normal person.
I agree.
Right? Mm. Or he gets into a fight because he's, you know, he's that way out. That's what a normal person
because
does.
Because that's showing his emotions of a disappointment. Absolutely.
Yeah,
I agree totally.
The boy clearly is upset and he's spoken about it, and I'm not making light of that. But it's, you can't say, that is not the normal behaviour of a person.
I agree.
Unless someone's sat there going, hey, mate, you want to take some of these? These will make you feel better. He's made that decision, and that's his decision. No one else's. And I'm sorry, you can't use that excuse. I don't believe it's an excuse. Your default setting is to do what you do. And that says to me, that's not a one-off. I'm not having that's a one-off.
I agree.
Not having it.
If we start accepting mitigating circumstances,
yeah,
every single player caught will come up with
some
excuse.
I'm not saying...
Of course it will.
I'm not using this case because I don't know Thomas Minns. I don't know anything about him and his private life. I don't care. I just care about when they play rugby. But as soon as you say, oh, that's all right, and football's to blame for this.
Yeah, exactly.
The FA are a disgrace for this.
Yeah, yeah.
The footballers are to blame. You choose to take it. You employ me, Mark, right? If I suddenly failed a drugs test or whatever, would the people you work for want me working for them?
I've been trying to get you on performance enhancing drugs. It's not working, clearly.
You know? But it's just, you know, if you're in a normal job, all our listeners who work in the real world.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? If they suddenly one day at work institute random drugs tests and someone fails,
yeah,
what's going to happen to them? They don't get the sympathy.
No, you're down the road, mate.
They don't get thousands of people defending them just because they wear a red shirt or a blue shirt or a pink shirt.
Yeah, whatever colour it is. Yeah, yeah.
So it's okay saying we need to support these people. Everyone makes the choices they make, and everyone has to live with the consequences of the choices they make. And we can't just target rugby league players and say, well, because they're our heroes or whatever, they can do this and we can let them get away with it, because it's not fair on everyone else. And the fact is, if you don't get a 2-year ban for something you should get a 2-year ban for, everyone else will do the same. Every Tom, Dick and Harry will come up with it.
The policy is unequivocal. You are the only person responsible for what goes into your body, and that's where it begins and ends. The only thing that is worthy of a wider debate, which I think Gareth Carvel is hinting at, is you quite rightly use the word normal, but what is normal? I have no idea for the current generation, the younger players who play rugby league, that Thomas Innes would fall into, how they carry out their recreation these days. I don't know what is normal. What is normal to people like us that say, well, you might go down the pub and have 10 pints? Normal for this generation might be getting hold of drugs.
Right, well, if that's the case, then he shouldn't be a professional athlete.
No, I'm just
should be playing sport, Phil. Should not be playing sport.
The default
position is
it's his choice what he puts in his body.
And the default is then this isn't the first time it's happened. But that's what I'm getting at.
But what is now deemed to be normal, I'm not sure
anymore. That's my point, you see. If you do what you do regularly, that says to me, this isn't a what. And I don't know, I might be speculating, but it's such an outrageous step to take.
I think the issue as well, and I don't know anything about addictive personalities, I don't know anything about OCD, I think being a professional player is there's routine involved as well with all of that. And what I don't understand is if you get caught after a game, then you are deemed to have taken drugs in competition.
Yeah.
And that, for me, is the issue, that somebody who is a professional sports person is taking them so close to playing.
Mm.
That is, I think, something that needs investigating and further reason as to why somebody who is a professional would do that.
Yeah, but also as well, right, and then they're coming out with these, you know, these excuses, you know, to... But you know what? If they didn't get caught, they'd keep doing it and doing it and doing it until they got caught.
Garrett, you know what? And I know we're using him, but he's the latest example.
He's the latest,
and I've said before, right, there should be an amnesty on this, and if players have got a problem, they should be able to come forward in strictest confidence, and you say, look, I've got a problem with X, Y and Z. Right, great, thanks for telling us. This is what we're going to do to help you get better, and we're going to test you every week, and if you slip, then we're going to throw the book at you, but we're going to help you. If Thomas Minns had come out 2 weeks ago and said, I'm a cocaine addict, I've got a big problem here, I really do need some help, I'd say, right, there's a game, we should come out and support that. But now you've been caught, I'm sorry, I don't. You can't backtrack. I think you've got to come out and say, look, I've got a bit of a problem here. And I think if you do that as a sport, we've got to back you up. And I think that's something. And it's all right, people saying, it's not a problem. No, it's society. It's society. Yeah? If you're an Olympic sprinter, yeah, I'm sure you can get your hands on steroids and whatever else to make you run faster. It's your choice whether you take them or not.
Exactly. Of course it is.
No one makes you take them.
I agree.
And that's the big problem I've got.
And do you know what?
I hope he gets all the help he needs. But I also hope he gets banned for 2 years, because that's what he deserves.
Of course he does. And also as well, whether the RFL want to listen to it or not, that there is a problem with cocaine in rugby league. There's a cocaine in all sports, as we've seen over the last few years, you know, from footballers, from cricketers, from rugby union, but we have a problem. So why don't we set the example by saying, you know, and do something about it? You know, why don't we be the leading sport to say we don't want these cheats, we don't want cocaine as part of our sport, but we don't do anything.
There's another issue for rugby league as well, in that we are still predominantly, the roots of our sport is in the working class, and this is where cocaine addiction is the greatest at the moment. I think that
is it.
Yeah, I think
Phil, there's bankers and all this sort of thing taking cocaine. Yeah. So,
but it's now available.
There's high flyers. There's plenty of high flyers taking coke.
But it's now available in pubs and clubs in a working class area, where before it would have been a drug that was extremely expensive and out of the reach of what would have been deemed to have been the traditional working class. Now you will admit that in places where you live, you could find use of it.
It's
so as a sport, that's where the bulk of our players are coming from. Now, if there is an issue in that part of society, then we as a sport could be a cleansing mechanism, but only if, to use the word that you use, which is the right one, there is some form of amnesty where you say, look, you know, people need to come forward and be honest and say if they need help or not. We've got access to things like Tony Adams Charity, which is exactly for that kind of addictive sort of behaviour. And if, I think, again, we spend too much time probably berating the governing body when they are doing a lot of things behind the scenes. But I just think this is a case where the statement isn't, we will support the player now that he's been found guilty. The statement should be, we're having a real investigation into our sport to see what the issues are, how they come about, how we can help, what we can do to preempt rather than react to, and be the sport that takes the lead, as you say.
You know what? You know what should have happened upon news, the RFL getting advised that so and so had failed a drug test at that club. That club should have been tested en masse the next day, 8 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, and then you can prove it's not a problem at that club. It is a one-off situation. It's an issue. It's a big issue.
It's
all right, Phil, saying, "Well, it's society's a norm." I'm picking we could go out with Gary. He could introduce us to a few criminals, burglars. People who go around knocking bell out of people for money or whatever, right? But those players aren't going out and doing that because they know the difference between right and wrong.
It is more prevalent, and I certainly don't feel as though I understand why a generation of young people seem to think that is a leisure activity of choice.
Oh, well. Let's get what's the reaction of the people?
The reaction from the people. Andy says, why not introduce drugs tests every Monday morning, then you know what players have been doing at the weekend?
You need to get a bit clear. You seem a bit off mic. That's
because it's Tom's fault. He's moved the mic.
Tom. Blame Tom.
Yeah. Is that a cost issue? Could the sport do more if it devoted more resource to drug testing?
Let's call a spade a spade, right? And this is the God's honest truth, right? The RFL, I know this for 100% fact, right, are aware that players take the drugs, right? They're aware of it. They've been made aware of it by an owner of a Super League club, right? And they chose not to do anything about it. They're just standing there with their fingers in their ears going, oh, no, there's no problem here. No problem here at all.
Wasn't it the same with prescription drugs as well?
You know what the problem is, right? If you went and drug tested every player on a Monday morning, right, and I'm not, I can't name any names, right, there'd be no one left playing rugby league very shortly, or very few players, and that's the problem we've got. And that's all right, people go, oh, there's no problem. Yeah, there is a problem. We've had four players in a year, right, and the tests are minimal. They're minimal. Yeah, they're on game days. You say, you've almost got to be, let's call a spade, you've got to be an idiot to get caught these days. So why are we all dancing round the chances of getting two players to fail a drug test at one game? I've got a better chance of winning Euro Millions on Tuesday night. It's rubbish. Stop dancing around it. There's a problem in the game, right, and it needs sorting out. And hiding behind it and going, well, it might be prevalent in their society. Tough. Mm. Tough. I'm sick of it.
Jamie Owen is a all Kingston Rovers supporter. It's his own fault. Don't need it in our team or the game, but needs support and not just throwing to the Wolves.
Correct. But he still serves his two-year ban, Jamie.
John works on the railways. I can be tested any time at work. I will receive a five-year ban from working.
Who's going to pay your mortgage, John? What are you going to do? Send us in a letter of forgiveness so we'll all support you? Doesn't happen, does it? It'll be on the rock and roll.
DP's gone a bit draconian on this one. If a player gets caught after a game taking drugs and his team wins, they should also take the 2 points off that team because they've had an unfair advantage.
Fair point.
I think off the world records, don't you, these athletes? Take these medals away from...
Yeah. Why not?
Thingy bob runners, relay runners. Alan says there's no excuse for drug taking. It's his choice to take them. They know there's a chance they'll get caught due to drug testing. It's a sign of today's culture. They know they can find some sort of reason to get round it. And as they always say at this point, if rugby league players are doing it, so are every other sports. And if
there are no professional
footballers using cocaine, and you are an idiot. You're as much an idiot as the player who failed a drug.
You see, also as well, me and Phil had this conversation when we was going to Hull on Thursday, and you see all clubs now, you know, they have their own doctor, they have their own psychologists, they have their own physios, they have their own
nutritionists,
sports science. You know, so you can't tell me, right? You can't tell me these specialists are advising players, say, listen, you know, if you are taking A, B, C, and D from a point of view, whether it's growth hormone, whether it's cocaine, whether it's
anti-drugs. It's cocaine.
Yeah, well, all right.
It annoys people.
Okay, well, you take your cocaine, surely
they're... No, what are they taking?
Cocaine. Well, you know what I'm saying anyway, you know. But so what this is telling me, you can't tell me that these people from the specialists at the club aren't telling the players, listen, if you take this, then he may still be in the system and from there. So what now is telling me from the players, they're ignoring the advice and saying, well, listen, I'm going to take that chance because I'm addicted to it or I like it and this sort of thing. And from there, and so for me, they know exactly what they're doing. They're crying wolf, they're crying babies, they want the nappies changed. When they get caught from there, they are not listed to advise what they should be taking. And quite simply, Mike, yeah, for me, it's not 2 years, it's long enough. It's 4 years. Prevention is the cure.
Well, we'll see if he gets 2 years. Is Zach Hardacre going to get 2 years? The rumour is he might be playing back next season. That's the rumour doing the rounds at the moment.
And do you know what? Do you know what, fellas? There's so many 19-year-olds, right, are getting blown out of the game because they're being told they're not good enough. Do you know what? These kids, all they want is an opportunity. All these kids who are being blown out at 19, if you said to them, right, if you get to a level where you're 21, 22 and you're making a big name for yourself, would you blow the chance by snorting coke? I tell you what they would say, not a chance, but all I want an opportunity. Be given this opportunity at 19. No. Absolute garbage. I've no sympathy for him one little bit.
Yeah, well, look, for his problems, I hope he gets sorted out, I hope he gets help in ease, but he's taken the law, if you like, into his own hands.
Correct.
And he'll get done for it, and that's the sad thing, you know, but it was his decision, no one made him do it.
They are told not to do it.
Yeah, but have they taken advice though, Rich? You know what I mean?
Wow.
Have they taken advice? Because as we all, as I just said, all the specialists, what they've got at the clubs, are they taking this advice? No, they're not, because they're thinking they may not get caught. But when they do get caught, then they're crying wolf, aren't they? They're crying like big babies, because they know exactly what they've done.
As Joe says, and I understand that when you want to become a rugby league player and you become a professional rugby league player, being a role model is part of that. It's not necessarily something you intend to be, but you are one. As Joe said, kids look up to these players. Big ban required, simple. You can't have people get away with it.
No,
and if we do, everyone will be on it.
Yeah.
John Davidson, our broadcast colleague, says, is it time for clubs to do their own drugs tests as well, like in the NRL?
I think they do. But again, I think going back to what Mark was saying, if they published publicly the results, then who would be turning out for them?
Mm.
Again, they're not mandated to produce the results.
They're not. And, you know, it almost feels, like I said, I'll go back to my original point. It's great catching one or two. Makes it look like you've been really efficient on your testing. You know, it's like the people at the Olympics. You know, if you come in the first three, you're going to get drug tested. So if you get caught, then you're clearly an idiot. Why are you doing it? And that's the point now with these players. I've no sympathy for
it. Rugby League needs Steve Cram to become a commentator because he can sniff out, pardon the expression, the drugs cheats. He always calls them out. He's a disgrace. Andy says, the thing is, the RFL made a rod for their own back by allowing Barber to play. He only got a 12-match ban. But that was a different situation.
Do we need a blanket game-wide? Because there are different rules for different competitions.
We've signed up to WADA and their regulations and their bans. So, you know, they do the tests and they have the sanctions. I don't know if the game itself... Because
can we unsign from that?
Football do.
How would that look if we say, well, actually, we're not that bothered?
I think it's quite responsible that we have.
No, I do, but are we... you know, footballer who got found taking it, didn't get banned. There's that the cricket player at Durham got caught three times in a year. He's finally been banned, and it's like, well, there are different rules in different sports. Are we being over?
If you leave it to the RFL stroke an independent disciplinary panel, you will then get different bans. It should be 2 years or nothing.
Yeah,
that's the WADA rule or whatever it is. But then if you say, oh, well, it's not as bad for him, he can get six games or whatever.
Yeah.
Then you open it up to say, well, he's got it because he plays for that club. And if he was at that club, he wouldn't get that and that and that.
I don't think they could have increased Ben Barber's ban on the basis of the fact that, you know, that was an NRL-sanctioned ban and he served it. They just operate to a slightly different set of rules as to what's in competition and what's out of competition.
Yeah.
So it would have been very hard for St Helens, well, for the RFL to say to St Helens, even though he got a 12-match ban and he served it, we're going to give him another 2 years on top of that.
We also saw the New Zealand players, and we've since seen the video, so it's like, you can't deny they've done it, and they didn't even get banned, did they?
But again, that's because the New Zealand Rugby League isn't signed up to...
Well, to be fair, the New Zealand Rugby League, they kicked them out of the World Cup, didn't they? But the NRL clubs didn't do anything about it. Double standards.
And they weren't caught. They were just seen on a public video. You know, they didn't fail a drugs test. They were seen taking drugs.
Well, what's the difference?
Well, because they didn't fail a test.
Because you haven't been drug tested, you mean?
No. So the NRL could have turned up the day after and gone, right, lads, here we go. And they would have gone, oh, yeah, well, yeah.
Well, so the New Zealand Rugby League were responsible, but the competition they play in, less so.
Mm.
I think people just want consistency. And, you know, the listeners, they're not stupid. They know how the world works. They just want everyone to be treated the same in the world of sport.
Yeah.
But everybody will be treated the same here because of what we've signed up to. It's a different code in different countries.
Yeah. And
there's nothing that we can do about that.
I don't understand how, if a certain player gets a reduced ban, the one you were just saying might play next year, how that works, because it should be a two-year ban.
Well, look, that's, you know, that might not be
that
right.
That might be procedural error rather than admission of whether he took it or not.
Yeah, well, there you go. We'll have to see.
Right. When are we going to find out, anyway?
Don't know.
Ronnie said the RFL should open an anonymous hotline so people can report people taking drugs.
I think some players have been targeted for drug testing. I think names have been given and some players have been caught because they've been deliberately tested. I just think you go back to the fact and say, if we're acknowledging there is an issue within our sport, as a sport, we need to do something about that. And that might be to start... the word probably is amnesty, but to start investigating ourselves why this is such a frequent occurrence.
Yeah.
Because I'm not sure we know why it is. I think we know what people are doing. I think we know that there are consequences for what they do and the default rests with them. But if it is prevalent, surely we need to ask the question why as well.
John would rather see tougher bans for steroid use and performance-enhancing drugs compared to recreational drug use. But the problem is their WADA class cocaine as a stimulant. And also, you know, we should give full respect to your fella from Yorkshire Carnegie, who got a ban last week for taking not one, not two, but, ladies and gentlemen, three different steroids. I mean, that's going some way to make the union more exciting. So well done to him. He's now been banned. Good old Yorkshire Carnegie there. Probably more steroids than people in the crowd there.
Oh, Richard, let it go. Right, come on, what else is happening?
I guess I got banned. Do you want to talk about the other thing from Hull while we're talking Hull? Because there's not really much you can say about it anyways, though.
No, Albert Kelly, not a very nice video of him surfaced over the weekend. We don't know the circumstances around it, but I think the fact that Hull have acknowledged there is an issue. We know he's got problems. He's been sacked from previous clubs. What do Hull need to do about this one, Phil?
Probably just make a statement saying that they're not going to make any comment, but they're aware of it. And I think Albert Kelly as well, if this is a current video, and, you know...
Well, I think the fact they've acknowledged it
seems as though it is, needs to apologise publicly. And then if Hull want to carry out an internal investigation, that's fine. I just think they've gone about it the wrong way. They've said we're carrying out an investigation, but they haven't acknowledged that there's been something to investigate.
It's interesting that we're seeing in other sports, sponsors are pulling the plug... because of behaviour, comments made by players. We've seen it in the rugby union, we've seen it in the cricket. It's going to happen, isn't it? Is that going to be the next step that people are going to pull away?
Yeah, they will, because, and I say, what sports have got to realise is they are role models, you know, and they've got to realise the responsibility. Well, they have, you know, don't get me wrong, you know, myself, you know, at times, you know, I've, you know, done silly things what I regret from there, but, you know, I try to learn from them. And even now at, you know, my age, at 53 years of age, you know, I still try and certainly from a public point of view when I know when the time is right to make sure you do the right things, and I know the other times when I can have a bit of fun and enjoy myself and express myself from there, but, you know, you've got to realise that you are role models. And as we all know in today's era, we mobile phones, we cameras and this sort of thing, you just can't do it. And yeah, there's got to be, certainly there's got to be some penalty for Albert Kelly because you just can't do that. You just can't get away with it.
There might well have been a penalty. We are not privy to that. He might have been fined in
house.
But if there
is, well, there's got to be, Matt, yeah. There is, because he's got form for it, as you mentioned earlier. He's been sacked by two clubs, and won't be for sure he won't be getting sacked at the black and white from a point of view because he's too important of a player, isn't he? But Albert Kelly's got to realise this is not good enough. Simple as that.
Do we need a code of conduct, maybe like the NRL have got, like the NFL have got, that if you do fail, you get
Well, if that had been the NRL now this weekend, they would have had him up before there, and I would imagine that he might have been suspended for about three or four from the governing body. What does our governing body do? What do, the governing body?
That is tonight's question. What do they do?
Is there not a code of conduct that they sign as part of their contract?
Yeah, but if there is a code of conduct, then the RFL give out testimonials to people who have been criminals in the past. So, who's holding the code of conduct in the first place?
Yeah, fair dues.
Sorry to raise that again.
We shouldn't have to talk about it. We wouldn't have to talk about it, would they? If the players behave themselves, that's the problem we've got at the moment. Bit of breaking news today. Good news for Castleford. Jesse Senilafeo has signed for Castleford. You were telling me, legend, last week he was going to Leeds.
Yeah, that's what
How dare you?
That's what I heard. Well, I got a phone call today from a Leeds fan as well, saying, you know, we was hearing that he was signing for Leeds, and so would I. But we'll be for sure here now. Yeah, the Leeds fans will be very disappointed because he's been sheer quality. But the Cass fans, they'll be ecstatic, won't they? Because he's been sensational for the Castleford Tigers, whichever role he's played. Whether he's been in the back row, whether he's been a front rower from there, and plays with that smile on his face. So yeah, the big rumour was he was coming to us, but it hasn't happened. Leeds fans will be disappointed, but the Castle fans, oh boy, they will be very, very happy.
Another of the Australians who just seems to suit our game more than their game, given the opportunity to express himself, to play an offloading type of game. I just think he's ideally suited. It's great news for Cass. I think the interesting thing with him is he more of an impact player off the bench rather than a starting player? That's going to be something that obviously they'll have to work out over the 3 years, but to get a player of that calibre to commit, again, is exactly what they need, and you can build around people like that.
Phil, we had him on the show 2 weeks ago, Cuthbertson, in the League Express. Is Cuthbert leaving Leeds? Is he going to another English super team, or is he going back home?
He might be wearing a cast.
Or is he going back home? What's you know, you're big mates of Cuthbert. What's the exclusive, Phil? Come on, don't be humming an hour in here, Mr. Kaplan.
My guess would be that he will stay.
We don't guess on the show.
Well,
we tell the facts. Is Cuthbert staying or going?
You would have to ask him.
Don't shake your head, Phil. Come on.
I don't think it's coincidence that he's been made the coach of the Leeds Rhinos ladies team.
So you're telling us he's staying then?
I suspect he will stay.
I'm not convinced there, Mr. Kaplan. So you reckon then, if he leaves Leeds, he'll be getting sacked as a ladies coach then?
Be hard for him to play for another club and coach the Leeds ladies, I would think.
Why would it? Why?
Let's be fair, I don't think he's getting massively paid for his duties with the Leeds ladies. As good a job as he's doing.
I think this is the start of him on the coaching ladder as he becomes towards the end of his playing career.
Oh, right. So if I take up a ladies coaching, I might get back on the coaching ladder. Is that what you're saying? Is that what you have
to do? You've got to have talent and ability as a coach as well.
Oh, cheers. Thanks.
And a track record.
Have you got a better record, though, as Huddersfield coach than Chris Thorman?
I think I have, actually. Hey, by the way, Phil, right, by the way, you mentioned that. I was a success at Red Caribbean as a coach for 2 years, and also two coaches at Barl under 19, so I've not had too bad a coaching career, so...
To be fair, your coaching career is better than your tipping career.
Oh, come on, that's a bit harsh again.
Cannonball comment, that was.
That's a bit harsh. By the way, also, Aaron Bauer, you owe me a curry. You gave me 20 start York, you owe me a curry.
I think we ended the show last week by being called bonkers for daring to suggest that York wouldn't win.
They weren't far off. Don't say it doesn't matter.
In 1994, are you bothered about who you beat in the early rounds of the Cup? No, it was getting to Wembley to play Wigan.
All right, OK, then.
So in a Cup tie, if you win by 1 point, it doesn't matter.
Then. So then, you will explain to me then why York got beat. You will explain to me because Catalans are full-time, Catalans are bigger, Catalans are faster. That's the reason why they beat them. Yeah, not because they out-infuse or they had more desire.
No, if anything, York played the better rugby and were an absolute credit to their division. Yeah. But you were absolutely 100% convinced there was going to be a shock.
I was.
But there wasn't.
I was. Yes.
No, there was a shock. Catalan won.
Good call, Mr. Wilson. I'll have some of that, Mr. Wilson.
Before it overtakes the comments, we don't want to make everything Hull FC versus Hull KR, because you all care about it in Hull. No one else cares that one player's bad on one side and one player's bad on the other. We don't care.
Yeah.
Marley says, a big year of recruitment needed for Leeds, especially when you add Joel Moon to that. Who's the number six for Leeds this year?
Don't know.
I tell you, do you know what? If I were Leeds now, if Moon's going, Leeds, you know what Leeds should do now? Put Myler at six and get Declan Pattern from Warrington. There you go. There you've got a half-back partnership. Myler signed for 3 years. Get Declan Pattern on for 5 years. Jordan Lee's gone. You know, he's nowhere near good enough. So forget about Jordan Lee. Get Declan Pattern from Warrington. Give Myler an extension. You've got a half-back partnership there for 5 years. What's Myler now? 26, 27, something? So he could go on from there. Declan Pattern is going to be a must for Leeds Rhinos. Got to be.
It's assuming, of course, that Warrington wants to release him.
Well, he's not playing, is he? He's not playing.
Played this week.
He's going to be a bit part player. Declan Pattern, his agent's Martin Shuttleworth. Get yourself onto Leeds, I'll tell you. He'll do a great job for us. Pattern for Leeds.
Fair enough. We shall see. Lots going on. Joe Westerman going back to Hull.
I tell you what, when Westerman left Hull, I was very surprised because the form he was showing, he was getting back to his best. He was getting back to where he was maybe knocking on the door for an England spot. But Warrington came with the big money, so Hull thought, well, I'll tell you what, we don't want to knock this money back from there. So they got a big fee from there. And I felt it was a mistake for Joe because he was getting back to something like he can play. I've seen Westerman play as a kid. You know, he played against my son's side, Alton Raiders, and the conversation between him and Jason Walton back in the amateur days was brilliant, and he was a quality player back in then. So Warrington signed, I felt it was a mistake, to be honest with you. I thought, what do you want to leave Hull for? You're getting back to something where you want. You've got the supporters on your side. It's taking you a little time to get to the player that Hull has signed it to be from Castleford. Went to Warrington. they weren't too reluctant to let him go, were they, when they came with the big money, Toronto, to sign him for about $130,000. It hasn't worked out from there, and Radders himself has said he's at his crossroads now. He's at his crossroads, because what Joe's got to do, and rightly what Lee says, the great thing about Radders, he's just open, honest, isn't he? You know, we just wish everybody would be more like him. You know, about his condition, he's at least 2 or 3 weeks away from being anywhere near selected from there, so it's the last chance saloon for Westerman. He's got a contract until the end of the season, and another thing what he's got to do, Joe, is get the supporters on side, because as I say, some of them were a little bit disappointed, first of all, that he left. A few of them were pretty happy that he was leaving, because they didn't feel as though that he was a player what they signed. So, but if Westerman gets his attitude right and then gets back anywhere near to where he was playing before he left for Warrington, he could be an asset for Hull, because Hull are missing that bit of a link between the halfbacks. Quality loose forward, got good, some good ball skills as well. So, Westerman, get his attitude right, get to the fitness levels what Radders wants you from there, he could be an asset for the Black and Whites for the rest of the season.
And I don't think they've paid a lot for him either.
Have they paid a transfer fee for him, have they?
No, I think in the end, even the wage demands that he would have liked, he had to drop to get this opportunity.
He would
at
have had to do.
So I think that's a win for Hull. The interesting thing is that obviously Liam Watts was deemed to be not the kind of character that Lee Radford wanted in the dressing room, for whatever reason. Joe Westerman has a little bit of history in that department. So it's an interesting contrast that Lee's dispensed with one player and brought in another who theoretically might be an unsettling influence if he doesn't get his attitude right. But I think you're right, the fact that this virtually... where would Joe Westerman go if he doesn't make it at Hull now? His career would effectively be finished in the top flight, in which case Hull can't lose, can they?
No, I think we're an asset. I do.
Okay.
I'm trying to learn where to sit so my head doesn't hover into view on the cameras. Daniel, not a big fan of the suggestion of Declan Patton to lead. He blasphemes, which can't do that on the radio, and he says, I've heard it all. Tracy, big fan of the show, big fan of Scoey. Scoey, bonkers, she says. Declan Patton.
Hold on, Tracy, come on. What do you mean? If you listen to the show every week, I tell you, I'm the intelligent one of this lot. Don't worry about that. Bonkers. I'm telling you, Declan Patton...
Well, at least you didn't say good luck.
That's a bit harsh. People do say I've got the first for radio. I still can't work that one out. I've been doing radio now for a few years. What do they mean? I can't work it out. I've got the first for radio.
Yeah.
Interesting one.
See, radio's changing now, so I'll have to get rid of you. Get a good looking bloke.
Now, I'll tell you, Declan Patton, honestly, we'll do a great job for Leeds.
Important point here from Barry. Who is this we when Scoey is talking? 1 minute he's on about Keith Lee, the next minute it's Leeds. Well, it's Keith Lee this week because they won.
Yeah, Keith Lee won this week, didn't he? You're on a journey, aren't you, with the Cougars?
We're on the journey. We're on the journey. Get the League Express and...
You had a few beers on the way back from Newcastle?
No, it's still... I was driving. We got picked up...
driving the bus?
At Tingley Roundabout, yeah.
Great piece. Scoey is a bus driver.
I'll tell you what, I most probably feel like that. The great piece in the League Express, the vision and the journey, what we're looking for. Because quite serious, Mike, you know, we don't know what the structure's going to be, and they say if it's going to be, you know, 3 leagues of 10, then we need to be pushing certainly for the championship from there. And you know, I'm just asking certainly for the supporters and all the companies around Keighley looking to set up a 100 club from there. And we have a squad builder already at Keighley Cougars, and yeah, everybody needs finances. And one thing for sure, we want the companies and we want the supporters to feel part of Keighley from there. We're going to be open and honest regarding the journey what we're on and the vision what we're looking for, and come and join us. But everybody needs extra revenue, because you need the extra revenue to get quality players, and if we could get them quality players what we require, then I reckon the journey could be successful.
If only you knew where the signpost to that journey was headed.
The promised land.
I've got a sat nav.
You've
got to program something
right
into it.
I don't need a Gmail, do I, to get there?
Interesting program notes from Thursday night by Hull chairman Adam Pearson about the journey and where we're going.
Very interesting.
It's somewhere exciting, apparently. We'll all be delighted.
Very interesting. Also, too, he said, well, there's four of us leading it. Mr. Lennigan, Mr. McManus, Mr. Hudgill and Mr. Pearson himself, the four gentlemen are going to be the leaders. I would imagine when Gary Errington read that on Thursday night, he'd be going, right, you're the four leaders, are you? No, you're not.
What if Hull got relegated again?
Well, this, you know, how
don't the primary broadcaster have a say in it as well?
Well, surely people, surely more than that four, but one thing for sure, Gary Edmondson would have been looking at them, programme notes and going, they are the leaders, are they? We will see.
But we're
going
to be excited.
Yeah.
What do we make of that?
We also are in no doubt now that Rob Elston's coming, because it was there in the programme notes that we've appointed a Super League chief executive who not only is very experienced in the sports field, but has an intimate knowledge of the sport of rugby league. So that's Rob Elston. So although he hasn't been announced yet, it's obvious from those programme notes that he is the man.
Again,
but what's he going to administer?
Well... No one knows what the journey's going to take in this Super League.
It's going to be soon.
It's going to be soon, is it?
And it's going to be... Well, that's what the note said.
It's going to be soon. I'm still waiting for the announcement of where the Knights are going to play. That is 8 weeks ago now. That is 8 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Contract's about to be signed on that.
Keep watching.
Also, you know, do you? Where are we going?
That's what we were told. Contract's about to be signed.
And what about the Six Nations?
Or four.
Or four nations. Tri-series. England versus Wales.
The Lions coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are they?
Or possibly not.
Well, they've got a New Zealand out in 2019, haven't they?
I don't think a contract's been signed yet, in the same as the Kangaroos are supposed to be coming here in 2020, which is the year before a World Cup, where they normally have their lapse year.
I am desperate to see more international rugby involving England and a combination of England players versus New Zealand. It's something we don't see enough of.
Yeah. Exactly. What's happening in social media?
Claire's happy because Martin got a drop goal against the Legends team. But Hull weren't playing Keithley, Claire. Ronnie says, Cass Tigers have started showing matches, brackets delayed, on their own TV channel. Is this the way to spread the word and show off our great game?
Well, no, Ronnie, because as a Cass Tigers subscriber, I would imagine you're a Cass Tigers fan. So they are preaching to the converted. That's not a criticism. They're generating more income. That's fantastic for their club, but you're not spreading the word about the game. You're showing your own people how good it is. They know already.
The internet is the future. Because I sat last night, yesterday afternoon, and I watched Bradford Bulls versus Hellenton Women's Super League. Saints look very
Bulls
good.
Bulls lost again.
Well, Bradford are rubbish now, aren't they?
They are rubbish now.
Leeds came in, poached all their best players.
Yeah, nicked all their
history
best players.
Repeating itself.
Amy Hardcastle's injured.
Yeah,
but because I ain't got a team in Super League, because my team in the Championship and won again yesterday.
You could have watched a wheelchair game before that as well. It was being live streamed.
I did go to watch that under eights game, so I feel I should be excused from one.
But if you wanted, you could have watched Elite French Rugby League. It was live streamed this weekend, and they had their Magic Weekend.
I'm gonna put my cards on the table here. I think Women's Super League will be a bigger hit as an online thing than a people paying money to see it as a standalone product, because you can just be sat there in your living room, open up Facebook, and there's a game. Now, I don't know how many games we're going to do, because we're not involved in this kind of thing, but it was there yesterday. It came up 5-2. Oh, rugby's on. I watched that.
Yeah. And, the York game.
Yeah,
which...
In Mega HD, as Jamie Jones Buchanan kept telling me. Very exciting.
Yeah.
But people who believe that television is not the be-all and end-all, right? Especially not being on channels people don't watch. There's an obsession in rugby league at the moment to be on television.
We're on telly every week.
Here's a question, and let's assume that when the next Sky deal comes round, Sky come to the rugby league and say, we'll only fund you, and particularly to the level that we have done in the past, if we can create one of these rugby channels. So it'll be rugby league, it'll be rugby union, it'll be the NRL, it'll be the Super 15s, it'll be historic games, but it will be known as the Rugby Channel. And it'll be an £18 subscription, a bit like our football and our cricket and our motor racing channels. Would we go for that? Would we want to be part of just a rugby channel? Would that work?
Yeah, I think they'd have to look at it, wouldn't they? Mm. Why? We're not in a position where we can be snobby about when we're on or whatever.
Or sharing it with another code that happens to play with the same shape ball.
We share the same channel now.
So if, as a rugby league fan, you subscribed just to that option, you would have Rugby Union on your channel. I think that's how Sky will be potentially looking at that model.
It's far more important that we do more streaming on Facebook and YouTube, on Twitter, as a sport. The RFL should be doing it. We've seen the RFU do it with Championship Rugby Union games. The RFL should be more proactive in doing this, because there's an audience out there who might never have seen rugby league before, but one of their friends shares the video on Facebook and they click on it and they watch it for a bit, and they might watch or they might not. But it's worth the gamble. Having it on a TV channel, no one's watching.
Mm.
And the obsession is, right, if it's on Sky, fine. If you're on BT, you know, the presentation's crap, but it's on. People have got BT. With the best way in the world, no one's subscribing to Premier Sports because we all gave up when they lost the NRL. Is anyone watching Free Sport? No. No, they're not. And yet we're obsessed with this bloody channel. We're obsessed with getting Rugby League on there. Stream everything. Stream everything that hasn't got a value. There's no value to Women's Super League right now, and that's not a knock on the players.
How many people would have watched that stream yesterday?
Well, 17,000.
See, I think that would be of interest to certain advertisers. You know, if I dealt predominantly in...
Well, the Bulls in their opening two games have had over 50,000 views.
To me, that is saleable. And that's how you supplement your income. You don't charge the people that are watching it. It's free to watch. But what you do is you go to manufacturers who might be looking to hit a predominantly female audience and say, we've got 50,000 people here. Would you like to tap into that?
Mm. 17,000 people have watched Warrington versus Bradford knowing the result and knowing that Warrington stuffed them.
Yeah.
So people are willing to watch this stuff online. The world is changing, and it's easier now to watch stuff online. And we need to be at the forefront of that.
Well, I think the interesting thing with the NRL as well is that they've got their app, which you can subscribe to, and you can stream all of the games every week. But if you don't do that and you follow the NRL on Twitter, you see the tries as they happen.
Yeah.
So if you want to watch the whole game, if you want to watch it in your own time, or fine, you can do that. But even if you don't, they're clever enough to release some of the action to those who don't pay.
Yeah.
In the hope that you'll go, do you know, this is so exciting, I'm subscribed to this. Yeah, and it needs to be a combination.
If one person subscribes,
yeah, absolutely,
they've won, haven't they?
It's a combination of things that you offer for free and things that you can make money on.
Yeah.
I thought streaming and everything was going to be, not a flash in the pan thing, but I didn't really understand it. I like buying CDs and having a physical thing, but then I realised, well, I can get it cheaper online, and then I don't need a physical copy, that's clearing up a cupboard, because it's going on my phone anyway. This streaming thing, all the kids watch it, we're all watching it now, people are watching the Rugby League on there, they're watching the Bradford Bulls, you know, Peter said, enjoyed the coverage of the ladies' match yesterday. I don't know where Peter lives, he's not going to go to watch Bradford versus St Helens, is he? But because it's live and free online, he's watching it. I think people involved in our sport at the top level don't understand where things are going. There's always going to be Sky in some form, there's always going to be the BBC in some form, and ITV and Channel 4 and whatever. But we can do something where people can watch and not be a fan, and maybe create new fans. And we're too obsessed with promoting TV channels no one's watching. What's wrong with the governing body? Promote national radio stations, promote national TV. Actually get involved behind things like this. And I know we're sat here in a proper sports studio and they pay my wage or whatever. I'm not saying if somebody else came along, Ace Sports, I don't know, I'm just making names up. If someone else came along and presented Rugby League free online, we'd be behind that as well. Because people can watch it.
What we need to be doing is negotiating with the likes of Google and Amazon, because I think that's where sports rights are going to be going.
Yeah. Ronnie says, who's going to go to the games if everyone's watching it on streaming? I know it works. People still go.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Apparently 2,000 Bradford fans went to Warrington to watch a game that their team possibly weren't going to win and will have still come back and watched the stream.
Probably, yeah.
The thing is, there is nothing that beats going to a game. If you are watching it being streamed, you're seeing it just from the perspective of that camera or those three cameras or the director's choice of what you see. There is nothing like going to a game.
This is a bad example, but Man United, Liverpool, Arsenal, they play all their Premier League games in England, and yet they have supporters all over the world because they've seen them on television and on the internet. And those people buy their merchandise. Mm. So I'm like, watch the Bradford Bulls online, or Leeds Rhinos, or Castleman, and go, oh, I like their shirt. There you go, drop me 50 quid off.
Yeah.
Is that not a good thing? I don't know. Maybe it's all bad. I don't know.
Mm. It's interesting, isn't it? The football deal in the Championship is that's changing in the next couple of years. Whereby, if you're not playing at 3 o'clock on a Saturday, you can stream your game and your fans can watch it. And I'm sure there'll be some clubs that'll do very well by selling that thing, others less so, but that's just the way the world is.
Isn't the onus of responsibility always on the home club to produce an event that people want to go to?
Yeah.
Like York City Nights did.
Yeah.
It was streamed online.
3,000 people.
I'm pretty sure that there weren't too many there from Catalan. I think that's this building...
But they could have all stayed at home and watched it on the television.
But it's the building awareness of the fact that they played Toronto, it was an event. Oh, I missed that. They played Bradford, it was an event. Oh, I went to that, really enjoyed it. What's the next event? Oh, we're playing Castellan in the Cup. Right, well, I'll come to that.
Yeah.
Because I know I'm going to have a great atmosphere, a great time. My team's going to play in a manner in which I can support them and enjoy the way they play. It doesn't matter whether that game's being streamed on the BBC or not.
How many people now? They got more on social media. How many people now think York's a great club, even though you've never actually been?
York got more people watching them in a game that was live streamed than Salford did it for a Super League game on Friday night.
Yeah. If you'd have been a Wakefield fan, you'd have turned it off. Yeah. We will talk about the Rugby League after 7 o'clock. I can promise you. There's been a lot going on this week. It's been a busy old week off the field. Is Mr. Chalmers right then? That streaming, you know, is he right what he's doing?
I think the issue that we've got is that we're doing everything piecemeal. That there isn't a media strategy that says for League One games we can do this, for Championship games we can do that, for Super League those rights are held by. I think the fact that clubs are doing it almost ad hoc is the problem. Because I don't think anybody's sat around the table with all the clubs and said, look, it benefits us all if we do it. And it may be that it doesn't go out live, it might go out delayed, but the fact is that we need to all sit down and decide what the strategy is for the sport as a whole. And for one club to be proactive one year in Toronto and get their way, and Bradford then to try and do it the following year, what's the overall media policy of the sport?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. Right, let's get through some social media, Rich.
Yes. Everyone is saying, a lot of people are saying, people should not forget it's live entertainment, and people will still go and watch. People aren't just going to sit up home because
the grand final's live on telly, but 70,000 people have been for the last 2 years.
Great. Yeah,
and a lot of those are neutrals.
Yeah. Although Matt does say our increased ticket costs putting people off. It's only for the Challenge Cup because people have their season tickets and then don't bother going to the cup games because they don't want to pay.
Mm. But they do seem disproportionately expensive because if you have a season ticket culture, and you know, you might be paying £250-300 for 13 games. To be asked to pay £20-odd for one game is disproportionately expensive. It's why we have this ridiculous situation that when it comes around to the playoffs, the number of people that go are less than the average crowd that's gone through the regular season. But the idea is the playoffs are what you're peaking towards.
Yeah.
Johnny says the championship needs to be online. You've got 6 teams going for 4 spots, some cracking games coming up.
Mm.
True. Alan, who says PNG have gone witness mad, which they have, he says, well played Coventry Bears, lost 90-0 but never gave up right to the end.
Mm.
That fellow with the red hair, he was front and centre on the photo at the end. He was in his big hair.
The big at the centre?
Yeah. He's got a great name as well, but I can't remember.
He's got a double barred surname,
yeah,
like you.
I like him, yeah.
Yeah.
Nicholas from Toronto says, what happens this year when players come to Toronto and recreational marijuana is legalised here effective July 1st? Lots of people signing up for Toronto now.
Dante Morley Samuels to give him his...
Thank you, Dante. Yeah. Love the hair.
There aren't enough Dantes in the game.
No.
People want us to talk about Salford and Wakefield.
Is that Nicholas the author, by the way?
It's Nicholas, your Maple Leaf.
He may not realise, but he is now in print. Yeah.
Oh, is he?
You have to send him a copy.
Very good. Right, okay. Fine. Before we move on and get laid into talk about the Wakefield game. I've got an important announcement to make. It's not that important. Well, actually, it's very important because our friends at Pontefract Races are paying me to read this out, so I need to read it out. Let's treat it with the respect it deserves. Proper Rugby League is brought to you by Pontefract Racecourse, who hosts their third annual Rugby League evening on Monday the 11th of June. Meet the players and coaches from Castleford Tigers, Wakefield Trinity, Huddersfield Giants and Featherstone Rovers will all be coming along. There is a great night of racing on offer. 6 top quality races, including the Mr. Wolf Sprint. Might be 7 top quality races because I might take Scoey on in the handicap. I'm getting up for this one.
I've told you, you've got 5 yards start.
Well, I'll have 10. Which commemorates... We are racing over 12 yards, aren't we? which commemorates one of the all-time greats, that's the Mr. Wolf Sprint. Bring your season ticket along and get grandstand and paddock entry to Pontefract's Rugby League evening for just a fiver, or with VIP tickets at £42 for adults, at £10 for children. It's a perfect chance to get up close to your Rugby League favourites. For more details or to book, visit pontefract-races.co.uk. We've been the last couple of years. I'm not just saying it. It genuinely is a good night. The players are great value. They're on a bit of downtime. They're good fun. You know you can get your picture taken, etc., etc. And I'm sure they'll be there. I'm sure there'll be a lot of cameras there. To Featherstone, Castleford, Wakefield. All
and
very proactive
now. A night
now.
At the races in the summer.
All very proactive.
It's a great night.
It is a great night. You might meet Scoy. I'm not sure whether that'll make it a great night or a poor night. But we will see.
And, of course... not at the races. Will Wakefield on Friday night.
Yes. Go on then.
John says, Mark Wilson. Oh. Salford deserve great credit. Squad was reduced with 4 players out and losing Louis and Josh Wood. Didn't hear Salford moaning that they had a few players out. Niall Evans is so underrated. He's a top fullback.
Can I reiterate my comments on... And I read them back and I thought maybe I've been a bit harsh, right? Wakefield were useless on Friday night, right? I actually said, I think one of my comments was, I bet Salford faced more opposition in their captain's run than they faced on Friday night. The game was over after 90 seconds. Salford scored first set of the game. Wakefield were useless. They turned up to me like a team that thought they'd won before they got off the bus. Now, some people said, oh, Salford were outstanding, they were brilliant, they were this, they were that and the other. They played all right. They didn't have to be anything better than all right. I don't think that's the best Salford have played. I think Salford can play miles better than that. People go, oh, you're not giving Salford any credit. They played okay. Salford can play far better, score better tries. 3 of the tries, Richard Shaw Wright would have scored them. Honestly, Wakefield were useless. And that's not taking anything away from Salford. They tackled when they had to tackle. They scored when they had to score. They kicked well. I'll tell you what they did do. They defended their line in the first half. Wakey had about 10 sets out of 12 on the line. Never looked like they were going to score. So, for all you Salford fans mourning that I didn't give you enough credit, you played really well. Right? You played really well. I'm not arguing about that. I'll watch you play better than that 10 times this season.
Well, I'll tell you what as well then, Matt, because you mentioned the score after 90 seconds. Well, that's inexcusable, really, isn't it? It's inexcusable from a side to be conceded from there. So, it was all about attitude for me, and even after the St. Helens game, Chris Chester said, well, we're all right beating St. Helens, but then we've got to go to Salford and make sure that still we can put this marker down. So, what Wakefield now, when you look at what we're halfway through, we're at 12 games gone. Wakefield, yeah, and we all said it here, we all said it before the season started. Look at this Wakefield side, they are going to be knocking on the door of the top four. So when we look at this season so far now, when the first 4 games, as everybody said, against the bottom side, then the test came where they lost to the top 5 sides from there, so everybody asking the question, well, can they handle that pressure? Can they handle that target, what they are? Then the good win against St. Helens the week before last, and everybody said, yeah, they can handle that pressure, they can get themselves up ready for it. But one thing for sure then, the players quite clearly didn't listen to Chester. After what he said after the St. Helens game, listen, there's no point here now getting these 2 points, going to Salford, and literally not putting the performances. So, give full credit, yes, to Salford the way they play. They had a good side. Yeah, we know that, Matt. Yeah. I'm saying,
Ian Watson,
give full credit from there. But you was out the game, Matt, and you surely could see from a point of view where Wakefield, the attitude must have been absolutely
stunk. It stunk the place.
Absolutely pathetic. But what I'm saying is here, guys, right? For Wakefield to concede a try in 90 seconds, that is inexcusable. It is.
Yeah.
Is
the most difficult thing for Chris Chester that he pinned his faith in those same 17?
Not really, Phil. No, because the performance against Saints, you can't drop players if they perform to a good level.
Yeah, but are you all more? Because David Fifita was there, and he's just back from Australia. Well, he looked fully fit to me.
Can I ask this then?
Well, he's still in the League Express. He's still struggling with a groin problem today, is Chester.
Well, he wasn't struggling when he was prattling about throwing the ball around and kicking it around on the pitch ready for the game.
This is what I was going to ask. Should he be around the team when they're warming up in the game before the game, prattling around?
I think he was fit to play. They just didn't pick him.
Right.
Maybe they're saving him for Castleford this week, but that would suggest that they think, oh, we probably don't need him to beat Salford. I don't know. He might be injured.
Well,
but if he's injured, I would not want him messing about on the pitch. Just a point. You mentioned it, Scott. First set, Greg Johnson cuts in off the wing. They missed him a couple of times, and someone cracked him round the head. Penalty, scored. And it was almost an unopposed try. They didn't even get an hand on Sal. He just walked in.
So also as well then, you know, Salford scored all them points. Wakefield only scored four. So that tells me then, was Salford's defence good, or was Wakefield's attack clueless and predictable?
They tried to barge their way over, and Salford just went, bring it on. They had three sets back-to-back. They had one chance in the first half. Riesling dropped a ball. He should have caught it. If he caught it, they would have scored. He didn't. Fair play. He made a mistake. But that's the only thing they created. Yeah. Salford's defence was great. Salford went, you're not beating us. That's what they said in the first. You're not going to beat us. We're too good for you.
So that's an
and they had no answer. Mm. And I was, you know, I had a few quid on Wakefield. I thought Wakefield would win. I was confident they'd win. Mm. And as the man said there, I saw that team. And so I went playing for Salford and thought, you know, Wakefield should win here if they're going to be a team in the top four. Now, they are only 4 points off the top four, and they've got a game in hand, so they can turn it round. But they play like that, I'll tell you now, and I won't be the only person saying, anyone who's an honest Wakefield fan or involved in that squad will be saying, you play like that more often than not, you'll be near the bottom.
So do you think Phil and Chester picked the wrong side? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying he would be most disappointed with the fact that he reinvested into those players. The fact, look, you did the job for me against St Helens, I'm going to give you the opportunity to go out and, you know, you mentioned last week that there were people like Tom Johnson on the sideline, and that was the right thing to do, to say, look, if you're not in peak form, you're not in my team. So he reinvests his faith in them. The coach can do no more than that. And then those same players let him down.
Well, also, as I say, because he sent out the message straight away after the St Helens game, Chester, didn't he, saying, listen, there's no point us playing like this and going to Salford and getting beat. Quite clearly, the players didn't listen and didn't have the
Salford's
right attitude.
Best player went off at the end of the first half, Rob Lewis, and it was 8-0 at half-time. They won the second half 30 points to 4 without one of the best players.
Big, big game for Wakefield at Castleford this week, because, again, you know, you'd almost say that we're at the point of the season where Wakefield will be challenging for the top four because they're only 4 points off it, or they will be dragged into the battle for the bottom four because they're only 4 points off it. That they have to hit back with some measure of, I guess, to give their fans the confidence that they can kick on. If they were to lose in the same style and manner at Castleford, where do they go from there?
Well, if they lose against Cass this week, that puts them 6 points, I think, and Cass then have still got a game. If Wakefield lose this week, they are not getting to the top four, and that's, it's only still after 12 games. They're not getting anywhere near the top four.
Who've Wakefield got after?
I think Hull KR at some point.
And then it's Magic, isn't it? Yeah. So
they've been given a bye at Magic week, and they're playing Huddersfield, aren't they?
They are indeed.
Yeah, it is a bye then.
New coach might be in by then, fired up Huddersfield. No,
on the Salford game, just another couple of things. Tyrone McCarthy had a head impact assessment, carried on playing, and then went off for a head impact assessment. The doctor checked him out, he went down with a head injury,
yeah.
The doctor checked him out, did a play on bit, played on for a bit longer, and then went off for a HIA. What was that all about?
Don't know.
And then he kicked some goals.
Yeah, he did.
Which he'd never done before.
Missed some as well, missed a few.
John says, Chris Chester had the best controlled post-match prayer I think I've ever seen. Calmly said his team waved the white flag, were abysmal, offered nothing, and apologised to Wakefield's travelling fans. By the way, two worst things in sport that supporters do these days. One, the holding up a thing saying, give me your shirt, please. That's out of order.
Oh.
And two, wanting money back when your team performs rubbish. They just are rubbish, right? Stop wanting things.
They were just one of those nights. We knew they were never going to win that game. As soon as we went behind, they were never going to win that game. Salford just out-enthused them.
The week they did.
Ian Blaze was on at me saying, you're not giving Salford enough credit. I thought, mate, they won easy. Yeah. You know, I just thought, I think you're being a bit arse. I'm like, no, Salford will play better than that and probably not win some games. They didn't have to be that great. Yeah, they run it in hard. They got some of the best players weren't playing, so it can't be the best they can play.
And the interesting thing for Salford will be to see how they back it up this week at home to St Helens.
Yeah, if they play like that, they'll have a chance.
And it's the Wakefield scenario. They play St Helens, they win, they then go to Salford with, from what everybody's saying, the wrong attitude. Salford have now done a number over Wakefield, and I think the margin of that victory is the story. 38-4 is massive.
That's my point. That is unacceptable.
But now Salford back at home have to back that up against the team.
Well,
they've
won four out of six at home. Yeah. You know, it's a, I'd love to see 7,000 in that crowd. I like going there for how passionate they get.
Yes, all for we've had
it. Just wish they could get a few more in and watch it. I mean, we were there 20 minutes before the start. I wondered if they'd open the gates.
Absolutely.
There was no one there.
Yeah.
You know, but great atmosphere. They do get behind their team. They do make
it. Oh, yeah, they make plenty of noise.
They make a lot of noise. They get stuck in, and they were enjoying themselves, and so they should. Big win for Salford. And fully deserved to all my Salford following friends.
They played the music loud enough for everyone to hear before the match, anyway.
So what about Wakefield, then? Worrying times for Wakefield? Do you think Wakefield will make the top four?
What changes?
Get anywhere near?
Oh, look at it. What changes? If you were Chris Chester this week, bearing in mind that it's hard for me to say because I didn't see the game, what changes would you make?
Well, hopefully Fafita will be fit. Give them a bit of grunt up front. I'm going to say this now, right? If they play another 10 games, they'll not play as bad as... They were off. They were that bad. And that's probably why Chris Chester wasn't as angry, maybe, as he could have been, because they were that bad. It wouldn't have mattered, you know? They were just rubbish. I'll tell you what it was very reminiscent of. Castleford in the grand final. When everything... The harder they seemed to try, the worse they got. And that's what Wakefield were like. And every chance Salford got, they were on it. They scored. They took the points.
I bet you they got ripped in behind closed doors.
Oh, exactly.
Ripped in behind closed doors.
In public, what's he going to do? You know, they were rubbish. You can't hide behind anything. You know, and he's come out and been honest.
Every team will have a week where they are unexplainably rubbish.
They were genuinely that bad. But it was true.
Would you bring Tom Johnson back to give him a bit more strike out wide and threat?
What you would say is, I don't think off the top of my head, I don't think Ben Jones Bishop did a lot wrong. I don't think Bill Tupou did a lot
wrong.
Is Tupou
more of a centre?
He didn't get any ball. I mean, you could have been on the wing. They weren't going to score any tries.
Who were the halfbacks? Finney and Miller?
Finney dropped the ball. Stone Cold dropped it three or four times.
Which is very uncharacteristic.
And Miller, non-existent.
Yeah, not didn't do enough for me.
Well, as I said, well done Salford, that's what they'll say.
Exactly.
They're a good sign and coached very well. I like the way they played me, Salford.
Martin Gleeson deserves a lot of credit as well, because we keep quite rightly lauding Ian Watson, and he is the head coach. But I think the attack that I've seen from Salford this year, I think Gleeson's doing a great job as well.
I think that was my point, Phil, right? I didn't see a lot of that attack. You know, we've seen Salford score some great tries. They scored a couple. Billy got a couple, I think, in the corner. You think, yeah, that's the Salford I want to watch. They didn't even have to do that. That's how... So I wasn't criticising. I had to reiterate that. It wasn't a criticism of Salford. Salford could have won with a pipe and slippers on. They were still going
to
win.
I think the other thing to praise Salford for is that is a club that has been undermined this season by people leaving and talk of people leaving. So to put a performance like that on shows the spirit that they have got.
Exactly.
Oh, they've always had that spirit, Phil, haven't they? He creates that himself. Watson, doesn't he? You know, so one thing for sure, Salford will never lack. They won't lack spirit and they won't lack desire, because that's what Watson brings to that side, doesn't he?
Yeah.
No way made.
Exactly.
No, they won't lack that.
Wakefield's next four games are Castle away, Hull KR at home, Huddersfield at the Magic, and then Widnes away.
Wakefield, you're lucky then. But isn't you're playing the bottom four sides.
But the springboard is putting in a performance against Castleford. They won't necessarily win it.
There'll be a reaction.
But
hey, listen, Castleford will hammer them on Friday. Because Castle need a reaction as well. I'm telling you now, Castleford will beat them by 20.
That's the game of the weekend.
Castleford will beat them by 20 on Friday. You mark my words.
Go on, then.
Gary says, why do Wakefield save their worst performance of the season at Salford away? They did last year in the Cup. It was an absolute shambles.
They had a lot of players injured last year. I'll give them that. There are no excuses on Friday.
Brian says, Wakey can't win big games when they're going as favourites. They can't. They can beat rubbish and occasionally shock the big teams, but can't handle pressure. And, of course, the real reason Wakefield lost, of course, is all Wakefield supporters. Is that James Child was the referee.
Exactly.
Again, the
exactly.
RFL conspiracy.
All them back-to-back
Wakefield
sets he had on the Salford line. You know, James Child must have not been watching
the game. Wasn't he knocking the ball out of Liam Finn's hand?
Got him away all the time.
Yeah, he missed a couple of tackles.
Evened it up just near the end, you know. That kind
so obviously then James Child didn't have the right. He didn't have the right attitude as well then. Pathetic excuses, aren't they?
And to be fair, Chris Chester, there weren't any offered.
Oh, listen, a great thing again with Chesney, he's like Radders, isn't he? He doesn't come up with any excuses.
Yeah,
Now,
shut up about Wakefield, enough about them. I want to talk about the big game. Leeds lost again, lads. Yeah. Leeds lost again.
Leeds in crisis.
My heart's bleeding. Leeds in crisis. We need some kind of jingle. Leeds.
Hey, look, to be honest with you, for you know,
sixth in the table.
The 18 minutes, Hull fully deserved it, didn't he? You know, and at say Albert Kelly, I said it last week in my column, and you know what he needed to, he needs to be in the game a lot more, and that's certainly what he did on Thursday night. Easily the best player on the field, and yeah, all over the 80 minutes, fully deserved it, 14-0 up. But then, as I say, as both coaches, certainly McDermott's had a massive pop at the officials from there, and Hull conceded 5 penalties on the bounce, a lost the ball twice, a forward pass, and you give any side in Super League, certainly a quality side in Leeds, that sort of momentum and that sort of possession, then within 10-12 minutes, Leeds turned it around, went 18-4 clear, but again, Hull showed that character where, certainly against Leeds, they were pretty slow starting in the first 20 minutes. They got to a cracking start and in the end, finished very well. Albert Kelly again, the guy who put the kick across, and Mark Snead, well, Snead again, come up the match winner, did nothing all game.
Well,
absolutely
well,
nothing
I've got
all
to ask
game.
You about that, because I've got a new friend on social media.
Yeah, he did.
Is it Mrs. Snead?
He did nothing all game, but again, came up with the match winner with a drop kick. But overall, for the full 80 minutes, a fair play to Macker as well. Yeah, Hull deserved to win that game on Thursday night.
Yeah, they did. I've got to give a big shout out to Leslie Garnett, who listens in Thailand, and he's been messaging me this week, so right. I'm going to read them all out just so he knows that I've got them all. He's a whole fan living in Thailand, loves the show. Will you put Scully in his place? Him and Phil, all they do is praise Leeds, Leeds, Leeds. Tell them to give a rest. Other clubs beside Leeds. He says, are you okay? Yeah, I'm okay. He said, Gary and Phil, all Leeds, Leeds, Leeds. Gary's got it in for Hull and Snead. We all love him here. I said, well, look, we like Radders, you know, we like Radders. And he said, yeah, he loves Radders. He said, you're always on Snead's case. Good half-back, we think. What's your thoughts on Steve Mark? And I go, he's all right.
Come on, you be honest. Oh, please. Come on, then you be honest, Mr. Wilson, what you
Snead
said to me 10 days ago.
Hold on, I've got loads of these messages.
What's his name?
Leslie. And he said, Snead is winning his important games. Tell him to get off. Tell Scoey to get off his case.
No, what? Simple as that. No, what?
He's won him the game the last 2 weeks.
No, what? Well, he's becoming a match winner, but overall, you know, he's been... Well, come on, then. You be honest what you think about Mark Snead.
He don't get involved enough in the game with a ball in hand for me. It's all right, kicking drop goals. I get that.
He don't create nothing.
I get that.
Do you know what? I don't know if you saw it on Thursday, right? His ball passing, he had literally Josh Griffin outside him, 3 yards away. He didn't even pass in the ball. He sold the dummy and got bashed and what have you. But no, hey, listen, Snead is what he is. He's a kicker and that's what he does. And he'll win your games with a kicker, as everybody's seen. But I am not changing my ways and what he is as an halfback and as a ball player. Has it got it? Kicky game, the best in Super League. Drop kicks, he'll set up. We saw the 52-yard against Wakefield. Won the game against Leeds. Fair enough.
All right.
Leslie, if you're telling me he's a quality halfback, well, let me tell you, get to an opticians. Get to a well-known opticians because you are seeing a different player to what I'm seeing.
Right,
and not every Hull fan loves Mark Snead, I can reassure you.
We're going to have a game of Rugby League halfback top trumps, right? Mark Snead... Right, who plays at halfback for Catalan Dragons? Luke Walsh, when he's not fit, who would you rather have? Sat Mark Snead or Luke Walsh? Come on, answer the question.
Well, you've got to go Snead because Walsh is always injured.
All right, Danny Brough or Mark Snead?
Oh, Danny Brough.
He's always
what?
Suspended.
Danny Brough.
He's suspended, he can't play, so he can't have it. OKR.
Danny Maguire.
Danny Maguire.
Maguire.
You'd rather have Maguire? All right, I can't argue with that.
Oh, the way you're talking, you think Mark Snead's England class? Go on.
No, I'm not. I'm just asking you a question.
Go on.
Witness Vikings, Tom Gilmore or Mark Snead?
Gilmore.
What's the point? Hold on. Wakefield Trinity, Richard Shaw Wright or Mark Snead?
I'll tell you what. The way I've just seen Shaw Wright go through, he's pretty nimble. Yeah. He had some vision and awareness on there. Hey, listen, Mark, we've got to be... I'm serious, you know, we've got to be serious about this. Mark Snead, yeah, as a kicker and as a match winner for Hull, kicking the ball, yes. As a quality organiser, a creative halfback, no.
One of the
Simple
things
as.
Mark Snead has done is the one thing that Leeds can't do at the moment. He's closed out games.
Kick goals.
So the Leeds have lost 3 games by a point this year. Over the last 2 weeks, first time in their history they've lost by a point on consecutive weeks, they have not been able to close out the game by having anybody that can set up and execute a drop
goal. I
have
been told, by the way, that Richie Myler, when he was at the Dragons, never even tried to kick a drop goal.
I think he's kicked one in his career.
Has he kicked one in it? So why is he the man?
Because there's nobody else.
I was like 25-1 the draw. I'm never going to forgive him.
I was asking Gary about this. Is it a specialist skill? He keeps going on about fullbacks, you know, can't be manufactured, they're made. Is it the same with drop goal specialists?
No, because I want a drop goal specialist. I'd keep more drop goals for greater than anybody else. Seven. Only because I want to get my name in the paper, to be honest with you, even though we get hammered by others. But I want a drop goal specialist, but it's easy to set up. Easy to set up. And you can't tell me that, because all players, when they're warming up, they all fancy themselves. Everybody wants to kick a ball. You know, so I guess Callum Watkins could even kick drop goals, and Joe Moon can from there. I just find it, I find it laughable.
But isn't it like isn't it like penalty takers in football? There are some strikers who are renowned goal scorers that don't want to take penalties. It's a different pressure. Is a drop goal a specialist art?
No, it's not a specialist art. No, it isn't. No,
under
it isn't.
Pressure,
no, it's not.
With the game at stake.
No, it's not. It's not. Anyway, so what I was going to say, it's not. Well, all right. John Holmes won a special drop goal, but David Walls won a drop goal specialist. But what the drop goals they kick for the Challenge Cup? You know, they're not drop goal specialists. It's just off the cuff. You know, so
it's not.
It's easy to sell. As I explained last week, and I explained in my column today, when Colin Maskey was my hooker at Leeds, if we were going for a drop goal, it was quite simple. I'd just say to Maskey, right? Maskey, I'm going on the fourth. You do what you want with the first three tackles. You can take him down the middle, take him to the left or right, but you know I want it on the fourth tackle. He would have a ball peep, knew exactly where I would be, and it's easy to organise it's organised earlier.
So, if on the fourth tackle you'd have had someone in your face, would you have taken the tackle and said, we'll have to go again?
No, who was going to be in my face?
Yeah, but if it happened, because that happened to Milo on tackle number two last week, someone was in.
Because it wasn't set up properly, it was rushed, it wasn't set. So what I'm saying is it's easy to set up.
It's easier for somebody like Mark Snead to set up, because he can kick a goal from 20 yards away from the defence. He's got that ability. You know, when you can do it from 52 yards.
Right, hold on,
He dropped the goal from a hole, he wasn't put under pressure because he was so far
against
away
Wigan,
from the least defensive
against
line.
Wigan, how far was Milan when he took
I'm asking,
10 yards out, 20 yards out.
Yeah, so if you can't tell me you can't get the ball 20 yards. On Thursday
night...
Well,
I think you give credit to Bateman for closing down the option.
Rubbish, you're making excuses.
No, I'm not.
On the other one...
I'm just asking
On Thursday night, when they got the penalty, right, they were 15 yards away. 15 yards away. My 5-year-old, well, I'll tell you what, my 18-month-old grandson, Ruben, can kick the ball 10 yards. So it's easy to set up. Easy.
It's not
even
as
you,
easy.
Even you with your knee bandage to be able to kick it. Don't worry about that. Eh? Do you know what we'll do? Why can't we film it? We'll get Tom to film it, right? We'll go out and we'll set up the drop goal by ourselves.
But it won't be.
All right, easy, do it.
15,000 people with the game
at
stake.
No, it's easily done. Don't worry about that. Eh? I want a drop goal specialist. I keep one at Wembley against us. 76,000.
But maybe you were a drop goal specialist.
Who?
You?
I wasn't, I can reassure you.
Thank God he's a specialist at something.
But anyway, it's cost Leeds 2 points. And that at the end of the season could be very, very important.
4 points.
Could be very important, couldn't it? Could be very important. And plus as well, you lost out at 25-1.
Yeah. All sitting in the top four, courtesy of two late drop goals from Mark Snead. Leeds. Now, all right, they're only a point out of the four, but had they kicked a drop goal in the last
That's
2 weeks,
saying.
They'd be a lot higher up the table.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Let's move on.
Sharon says, Gailey is the best, never mind Smead. So let's start the Luke Gale to Leeds story. let's start that one. That'll be good. They've got some money, they need to spend it on a halfback.
Yeah, they do.
So there you go. Luke Gale to Leeds, there you go. Yeah. Alongside Declan Patton.
Yeah.
And Blake Austin.
Blake Austin. And
Blake Austin, where's he come from?
Canberra.
I know, is it Cameron? Are you telling us another exclusive film?
No.
Are we signing Blake Austin? Oh, by the way, as well, is it Leslie who's in town?
Yeah, yeah.
I'll finish on that. Leslie, when Leeds deserve to be criticised, they get criticised, so we are not one-eyed, like you all fans, like Mr Wilson is with the Bulls, Shaw Wright is with Wakefield. We are not one-eyed. When Leeds deserve to be criticised, they get criticised.
At least Shaw Wright and my good self know which team we support. Yeah. We're not like you. Oh, I'm all this week. Yeah, come on, all. Yeah, I love all, mate.
Oh, do me a favour.
Judas.
Do me a favour. Do me a favour.
Keithley's finest.
Badge kissing.
Janet's been there.
You're like a politician, you. You'll kiss anything, try to get some votes.
Oh, hold on, it's a bit ass. Let's have a gallon first.
Obviously, it's the local elections coming up. I won't mention any parties or anything because that's illegal. But good to see that politicians remember that Bellevue needs doing up again. So thank you very much for that, politicians. Oh, it's like last year all over again.
It is.
Janet says, I met Scurry on Sunday at Newcastle. He was fab. Forgot to give him my bread cakes, though.
All right. Oh, yes, Janet, yes. Yeah, great to see you. Thanks for respect your
Kingsley case. Kingsley fan or Newcastle?
No, from Widnes, I think. It must be a son who all plays right. up at Newcastle. Very yeah, she's always listens to the show. She thinks it's a great show. So, yeah, Janet, thanks very much. And she said it's a barn cake or something, instead of calling Widnes. But, yeah, it's a bread cake.
Start, which,
no, no, no. No, that's what she was telling me. Anyway, it's a bread cake. Go on. Move on.
Hoppo is excited because the draw for the Challenge Cup is actually going to be made this week.
Yeah.
On Radio 2. Never heard of it. Got to be good for promoting the game with about 8 million listeners to aim at. 8 million?
It is good. And the only thing about it, Chris Evans is actually a rugby league fan. And so it'll instantly give it some credibility.
And the thing that will also make it great radio is Josh Charnley and JJB will be there as well. And I think rugby league will come out of that to a wider audience that doesn't normally hear it as a sport that they at least should take more notice of. I think it's a great move.
They will give it the respect it deserves as opposed to that time Richard Bacon did it.
Yeah, correct.
It's a Challenge Cup. It's a Challenge Cup, the biggest cup competition in world rugby league.
And they're putting in front of the biggest radio audience.
Fully deserved.
Barring this one, of course. Yeah.
Do tune into The Last Tackle where we have an argument about when it used to be on TV. Which is great.
Okay.
So if you're a fan of Harry Gracian, tune into...
You want a draw specialist? What are you scoring? You got the wrong number, didn't you? Let's
was
move
that,
on.
Was that on TV?
Yeah. Me and Alex Murphy did it. Yeah, Salford fans, I think I drew Salford away, but they said I pulled the wrong ball out, whatever, so Salford should have been home. And Salford and the fans, they wanted the draw to be redrawn.
It was after that. They put a little line under the 6 and the 9 so you could tell which it
and
was.
And stopped asking Scotty to do the draw.
Yeah, I've never done it since.
No.
So, Brian McDermott, as is his wife.
Oh, yes. He doesn't like playing against Sol, does he? Because he doesn't like the way that they play.
I like the fact that he said our referees are too easily influenced by the crowds, and then said it happens at Leeds as well. So hang on, Brian, you can't be both ways. All the sounds go,
hold on. When you're at Wakefield, the Wakefield fans are always begging.
Those people,
get him outside! Get him outside! Forward pass! The Wakefield fans are always begging.
Those people sitting in front
of the
radio.
That's in the kids' game.
Those people who sit in front of the radio seats are an embarrassment. We all accept that.
I was had an argument, you know, live on the radio.
Woman was
telling me I'd got the score wrong. It was someone who nicked the scoreboard at Wakefield. And I'm getting really worried. I must have written the score down wrong. Then after about 20 minutes of her shouting at me live on the radio, she went, oh, yeah, you've got score right. I thought, yeah, thanks, love.
I had an argument with somebody live on radio there, didn't I?
Yes.
Yeah. The worst thing now is the chant for forward by people who are behind the posts.
Oh.
And you can't see the angle of the ball behind the posts. Anyway.
Move on.
Unless you're playing the hole.
Yeah, so what do we make of McDermott's comments now? Is he getting a bit...
The interesting thing is that Lee Radford and Darrell Powell have come out and supported him. That the issue isn't about any given game at any given stadium. It's are we refereeing the game differently in the early parts of the season to how we end the season? And all the coaches, well, so that those three coaches seem to agree that there's validity in
but
that.
We go on about how they're refereeing and moan about penalties. I've started watching the NRL a lot more this year. There's penalties galore in the NRL.
It's different in the NRL this year. They are on a clean-up campaign. And they are.
How's about we just play to the rules?
Well, that's what they're doing. What they're saying is, over the past few years, we've slipped away from the rules that players have been deliberately standing offside, that they have been over wrestling in the ruck, that they've been looking to gain advantage by feigning injury. So
Ganson
all of that.
Has come out and commented on that.
That the NRL are now trying to say, right, we're not going to have it.
You know what tidy up the game of rugby league is if you stop players moving off the mark. It's amazing how many players play the ball not from where they got tackled.
But you're talking about playing to the rules. That is the rule. If the referee is seeing that, they should be penalising.
Well, we've been at gear. I think we were the other night. There were loads of penalties. There were none of them where you go, that's not a penalty. They're all penalties.
But if that had been the grand final, the penalty count would have been 5-0. And the point behind Brian McDermott's argument is we referee the game to a certain philosophy for the first two-thirds of the season. And then we forget that when it comes to the time of the year where spectacle is most important.
Well, the players have to take responsibility, don't they? And I say we don't want to see...
coaches.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I say we don't want to see any from the first fixture to the last fixture of the season where, you know, we're getting 20-year penalties a game. We don't want to see a stop-start game. We want to see entertainment.
Well, it is a fact. Stop messing about the play of the
Correct.
Ball. Play the ball right. Play it in the right place. And then we might get
we also
game.
Have an issue with games are refereed differently when they're on television to when they're not. And in Australia, that doesn't happen because every game is on television.
Fair point. Fair point. Adam Cuthbertson believes the players have a duty to play the game correctly without resorting to gamesmanship. I think the refs do a great job, says Cuthbertson. Very praising of the officials.
Is gamesmanship coming into the sport?
Yeah, Ganson has come out and said that coaches are encouraging gamesmanship from their players. I'll say what I said last week.
I'll go further and say it's not gamesmanship, it's cheating.
Yeah, it is.
It's cheating.
You give a winger a ball and he drives it off his own line. It takes 4 men to tackle him. He gets up to play the ball. He falls over and someone's opened the door in the bar and he falls over at the draft.
Yesterday, our game, it happened twice.
We're all playing yesterday.
Kevin Newcastle, it happened twice in our game, right? So the Championship clubs, the League One club, what they're doing, they think because the Super League team are doing it from there and they keep playing, well, whatever you want to call it, gamesmanship or kidology, I call it cheating, everybody else is following. It needs stamping out, simple as that.
Is it equivalent to a player falling over in the box looking for a penalty? Is that what coaches are saying? Just get any advantage you can? Yeah. Or is it the players that are doing it?
Well,
a bit of both. Of course it is.
Yeah, it is.
Of course, Sean Wayne has said, obviously, he'd haul off any of his players if he found them performing in that way.
Rightly so.
We shall see.
But he actually did get knocked over by a breeze, and that's why he fell over, so he's still playing next week.
Yeah. No HIA.
No. Paul has asked us what rule changes we could bring into the game to make it exciting, as it once was, because the vast majority of matches I've seen have been dull as dishwater. There's two things here, because I read a thread on one of the forums, because I'm an idiot. Someone writing an essay about, I'm not going to watch rugby league anymore because it's rubbish these days. It compares to the olden days where they used to come up from the pit and play for 80 minutes and then extra time and everything, it was great and didn't have uncontested scrums and all this crap. All rugby league in the past was better than it is now because you're only relying on your memories, because not all of it was on the telly. And every game for every player in the modern era is recorded. And we can all see how good they really were. Some of Gary Schofield's games in his career will not be on video. Not even on Betamax or Cinefilm. And even though he says he's 8 out of 10 all the time, we'll never be able to prove it.
Hold on, I'm telling you.
Well, that's the thing. You're only going on your evidence.
I'm telling you. There were a couple of sevens. Yeah.
So you see.
Oh, come on, Phil.
Whereas all the players today are crap because we say they're crap because we've seen it on telly and it's rubbish and all rugby league's rubbish and we're all going to go off and watch Rugby Union or something. But there are some rules.
You feeling all right, Rich?
There are some rules that could be changed. One, like the shot clock and things.
One rule change, charge down. Shouldn't wipe the tackle count back to zero. It's a real skill to be able to charge the ball down. And if you are then turning it over in your own half, then that's to the benefit of the kick chaser. I've never understood why you wipe it down.
OK. Scott, if we could give you one, what would you do?
The ball seal. I couldn't care less how many's in the tackle. If the bloke can't carry the ball properly and protect the ball, take it off him. The ball seal for me.
Yeah?
Hmm?
Yeah. Interesting.
Ball seal.
Interesting stuff. Let us know, listeners, what you would change if you were given the all clear to do that.
What is the point of scrum, say Stephen? When you feed the ball into the back row, what is wrong with a good
old scrum? The point you make every time. No. The referee stops the scrum. And then they just do exactly the same thing again.
I say our work colleague Craig Murdoch, I say, oh, here we go again. And it's right. They're pathetic anyway, the scrums, aren't they? But you can't stop them, can you? You've got your part of the game. I know that.
Would you allow striking again? Or?
Of course I would, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah?
Yeah, put it in the middle. Yeah, of course it is. It's an art. That art's gone, but yeah, of course it is.
I think one of the things you should do with a scrum is that when teams race to get the clock stopped, those players that are there, the six players that race, have to form the scrum.
All right, fair dues.
And if you end up with three props in your back division, that's your problem.
Uh-huh. Harsh from Peter, he says, Sky's game, early games from Pathé News.
Hey!
That's that big cockerel at the start of it.
Pathé News.
What's that?
There goes Schofield. He scores for Hull FC. Leeds or Keighley.
The Cougars.
The young boy.
The Cougars.
The young boy who's just come through the ranks.
Yeah.
Phil, have a bit of respect. So don't get like these two, Phil. Come on. Don't get like these two.
See, even he doesn't trust you proper leagues now. He's getting it. Phil gets it.
Martin says he's seen Gary playing a 3 out of 10.
No.
Who's that?
No, he's never.
Martin, where's he from? Go on then, which game then, Martin? Come on then, which game?
He's from Leeds.
Yeah.
Well, then, Leeds. Which, oh, yeah, it might have been the semi final against Widnes at Central Park, actually. Martin, I'll give you that one. Semi final against
Widnes. Well, that brought you average down. You'd have been 10 otherwise, wouldn't you?
Don Bradman, he would have finished as a 9, yeah, but that brought him down to an 8.
Yeah, Martin, I'll give you that one. Yeah, all right. But having said that, I did say I always had one poor game out of 10, so that might have been.
Some of those 10s might have been 11s if the scale went up to 11.
Yeah.
He won some games on his own.
And if it was on Brian McDermott's 2-9 scale.
Yeah. Or what about if we did. Yeah. We should send a survey out like Everton did about Sam Allardyce. What do you make of Scottish performance this week?
Yeah, what about that for Everton?
Explosive one.
That would be the Everton that's run by Mr. Elstone, who's coming to the rugby league.
How pathetic was that? But I'll tell you what, it's a great comment coming back from Sam Allardyce, 11 out of 10. No issues there, 11 out of 10.
It's all right, I'll get another big payoff when they sack him at the end of the season. Mick says the games seem to be dull because of new stadiums. No atmosphere. Old grounds are always the best, and yet you all want Bellevue to be knocked down.
I think there was a pretty good atmosphere at Hull on Thursday night.
Yeah,
and that's a new
stadium. It's a good atmosphere at Salford. Yeah. There's what enough people.
Oh, the Salford fans are brilliant, very loud. Yeah. I wonder if your fans are about to put up with that
before. Well, was my mate there? And with his son,
I didn't see him.
Apparently, Peter was sat behind us and he said our faces were like.
Was any Salford fans asking where the legend was? I have not been there this year yet.
King of Salford?
Yeah, were they asking where I was?
Long live the King. Where's the King?
I've not been there yet.
Has the Prince been named Gary yet?
Well, it should be. I know it's for 2 hours as well, to be honest with you. It better be. Gary Edward, that's the name of the legend. Gary Edward.
Edward.
Hey, Edward.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Gary Edward.
Can
you
present
Gareth Edwards? No doubt, people are putting a picture on me with a crown on Gary Edward. No, I think
we've got a picture here with a turkey on your head. I know we have got one of them.
It's a bit harsh.
King of the turkeys. King of the turkeys.
Oh, it's a bit harsh on turkeys, isn't it?
Glenthorpe should have more ex-players becoming referees. Yeah, come on.
They don't want to.
They don't want to be on Sky.
But the players don't want to.
I'd love to have a go at refereeing.
Hey mate, I did it.
It's hard, I know.
I did it at kids level when Jonathan were playing and the referee didn't turn up and I volunteered. It's a nightmare. It's a real
skill. I did it twice and
the two guys had to stop it twice and just say to the parents, "Hey, listen, I'm only here because there's no office. If you could do better here, you take it. If not, just shut up and let the kids enjoy it." And I could only give what I saw. Mm-hmm. Simple as that. Yeah.
Did you have your glasses on? Because otherwise you would have seen the right lot, wouldn't you? Yeah.
I'll tell you what, it was a short 5 metre rule, about 3 metres. I was shattered.
Yeah. We've had lots of people asking us about Roy Haggerty. Scully spoke about him at the start of the programme.
Yeah. Dave said, have you got any memories of Roy Haggerty?
Roy. The first four centres I played against when I made my debut for Hull, I got absolutely battered. It was a great introduction as an 18-year-old at Hull. The first centre I played against was Ronnie Duane, who was a current Great Britain centre. The second one was Eric Hughes. He just literally battered me. And then the third one was Gary Prohm, who battered me. And then the fourth one was Roy Hagg, who just totally battered me. And I thought to myself, as an 18-year-old, surely it gets easier than this. Week after I played against Les Dillard, scored up to Headingley, so it got a bit easier. But no, Roy Hagg, and I say, great character. Tough as... I'll tell you one thing for sure. You know when the referee called surrender, Roy Haggerty wouldn't have surrendered in the tackle, I can reassure you. And Roy Haggerty would never, ever have done with gamemanship. And I say, when it went... And, you know, he was a great character, great tourist in 1988. And as everybody knows, the TV interview what he did, on Channel 9, I don't know if I think that might have been with Darrell Eastlake, to be honest with you, from there. And And then also as well, Roy didn't make the test side in 1980. He played with the Ammoneggers, as the midweek side were called. And like a lot of us, didn't get on with the assistant coach in Phil Larder. He was the assistant coach from there. And Roy went to go see Mal Reilly, and quite clearly in his Liverpool accent says, Mal, I like cock. He used to call everybody cock. Mal, I like cock. I need a word cock. Well, yes, Roy. What's wrong, Roy? You know that Larder cock? You know that lad? Yeah. Well, I don't like him. So if I chinned him cock, would I get sent home? So Malder said, what, Roy? He said, well, if I chinned him cock, would I get sent home? Well, Malder said, well, yeah, Roy, yeah, we'd have to send you over doing. All right, then, cock, I'll leave him alone. See you. That would just Roy for you. That would just Roy. So, great man, great character, and he will be very, very much sadly missed. He played in that quality St. Helens side with Harry Pinner and Neil Holding. Chris Arkwright, his partner in crime, was a St. Helens centre. He was a tough, hard man from there, and lip trot there as the hooker. But no, great character, and very sad, and as I say, Roy, rest in peace, mate, and the family, you know, all the condolences, because he was a proper rugby league player and a proper man, great character.
The other great story about Roy is that he started his career in the centre, but obviously made his name as a second rower,
yeah.
But St Helens signed Mal Meninga.
Yeah.
And Roy's reaction was, well, where's Meninga going to play?
That's what he said. That's just what he was like, honestly. No holds barred, and great character. And as I say, when his funeral is, say where, how long it's going to be, it'll be a great send-off for him, and fully deserved.
OK.
Paul says, a bit of class from Tom Briscoe after being bombarded all Thursday night, came across the Hull FC fans and clapped them. He's a nice lad, is Tom.
He is.
Nick says, Bulls support the show again at the weekend. How sorely missed they are from Super League. And I think it was one of the Wolves fans mentioned that as well.
I think the Warrington management did. There was the Bulls were highly commended for not only the support in a losing cause, but the number that came over. A lot of the Warrington directors were saying this is the exact example of why they need to be somewhere up near the top of the league.
I'd say one as well. We're talking about directors... saying, yeah, well done and thanks very much. Very strange that none of the Catalans directors came over to York yesterday, which I've read today. That's very strange. Not one official from the Catalans travelled with the side. So they, what do you reckon? They may have been expecting a shock. They didn't get it, but none of the directors travelled.
Nice place to go to as well.
Well, I know for sure, because I spoke to Mark Campbell. He went to the York game yesterday. They'd even
as a fan, obviously.
Yeah. As a fan, yeah.
Even though his team was playing as a fan.
Yeah, John Flatman does all the hard work there and whatever. And Mark, well, as a fan, anyway, they booked a friend's restaurant on the waterfront there. You know, obviously to give him what they fully deserved. And well, according to League Express, they didn't turn up.
Poor.
Yeah, snails very to poor. Go round.
Yeah, very poor, yeah. So well done to John Flatman and Mark Campbell who run York.
Don't think we can stress enough how incredible it is to get a crowd of 3,000.
Yeah, sensational. Mm. Brilliant.
I think a lot of neutral fans chose that game to go to this weekend, which is full credit to York for getting that kind of spirit around the place again. When they get the new ground, it'll be even better.
Great shirts as well.
Heritage shirts.
Yeah. As we do our... Why don't we have a heritage round?
Tell you what, though, let's go on about. We're looking at the coach situation now about Huddersfield, because St Helens, yeah, they want the reaction after the defeat against Wakefield, and you know the Saints fans got what they wanted, 66-4. I guess the question should be seeing results like this in Super League at the present day as what it is. But boy, oh boy, Huddersfield. First of all, I want to say, why are they going? Why are they going for another Australian coach? What are they going for another Australian coach for? By all accounts, it was between him and Kidwell. First of all, did they interview an English coach? Were they interested in another English coach? Why are they going for another coach from Newcastle, where they've had one from Rick Stone, who realistically, he was like a calm coach. He didn't seem to be the one where shouting and bawling. By all accounts, this new coach coming in, is it Simon Wilford? Stephen Wilford? It's Simon Wilford. He's supposed to be a coach who likes to rattle and roll. He likes to sling, the old teacups. He likes to rip into players. Well, Foreman's tried that before games, half-time, after games. He hasn't got a reaction. So when you look at that performance, performance from there. The players, well, they're pathetic at the moment, aren't they? Absolutely pathetic. They are waving the white flag. They're waving the white flag from a point of view where, yeah, we know we're going to be in the bottom four, so we'll get ready for that. We all can remember the great James Webster to comment regarding Wakefield. But Huddersfield, this moment in time, my question is, why do they want to go for another Australian coach?
And whoever is their coach can only deal with the players that they've got as well. Can't change anything. So you're bringing somebody in who can't even stamp their style and authority, if they've got it, on the team, because they've got to work with the players that they have. Which that's the first result, I think, of a team scored more than 50 in Super League this year.
Right.
See, as much as we can say, oh, Coventry, they conceded 90 points at Widnes. There's two divisions between us.
Yeah.
I know Saints are very good at the minute, but Huddersfield are in the same division and spend the same amount, perhaps, as St Helens.
Do you know what as well? I'm only just surmising here, just looking from the outside, looking in. I would imagine as well, them Huddersfield players who wasn't playing on Friday night, I'd have been thinking, yeah, I'm glad I haven't been out there tonight. Not that, you know, I wish I'd have been there. I could have made a difference. You know, they'd like to have got ripped in. I would imagine them players who weren't playing would be saying...
Is it what, a bit like when Fire got all them tries when you went off with your tight calf or whatever? Is that what you thought?
No, I got kicked in the head.
You got kicked in the head.
Yeah, the play of the ball. Yes, in them.
You were the early rule.
In them days, you could strike for the ball, couldn't you? And I was the dummy half, and Steve Ampore went to kick it anyway. Kicked me in the head accidentally, and it was like an egg on my head. You know what I mean? Oh, there'll be eggs now put on my head on social media, and it come up like a bald egg on my head. So I had to
go
off.
Any evidence of this?
After 54.
Got any evidence of this?
I'm telling you the truth.
Yeah,
I'm telling the truth.
You told me 8 out of 10 every week.
8 out of 10 performance.
Yeah.
Well, hold on. I said, in 10 games, I was allowed one mediocre performance. So when you work that out, it's 9 games out of 10. Okay. Listen. So I reckon with the Huddersfield players, they weren't playing, quite simply, they'd be saying, I'm glad they weren't out there.
Huddersfield already in the bottom four. They're not going to make it. They're not going to make up 5 points.
You reckon they'll get relegated?
Yeah. I got some stick off Huddersfield fans last week after me Danny Brough rant. And then some of them went, he should never play for our club again. I thought, what are you arguing with me for then?
As much as rubbish. We talk about that Salford result in terms of their performance. Massive result in terms of getting them away from the bottom four as well. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Presumably no change for Huddersfield at Warrington this week, who now everybody has evened out the table. Well, not everybody, but most have played the same number of games. Warrington deservedly now sitting in third.
Mick says Giants should get Anderson back, who is busy with the England Knights.
Yeah.
They've got all those games coming up.
But has anything changed since he left? Why would he want to come back?
Derek says, live from Afghanistan, by the way. He's got his finger on the pulse, because he says they should get the York coach. And it's not just James Ford, is it? But numerous other names who have been overlooked in favour of the bloke who coaches the reserve.
I tell you, there's some quality. Yeah, there's some quality British coach. You mentioned James Ford, and
if I was James Ford, I want to stay at York.
Well, exactly. Why would James Ford want to go? Would he feel also to John Duffy? But he's just signed another contract at Featherstone for 2 years, 2020. But you know, my question is, what Huddersfield interested in any British coaches? Why have they gone Australian again and gone for somebody
in unanimous agreement that the man pulling the strings at Huddersfield is the problem at Huddersfield?
Absolutely. Yeah? Absolutely.
Are we all in agreement with that?
I think it goes higher up as well. I think that if you sign the cheque, there is an element of responsibility that you need to see your money's being spelt properly, and for the last 5 years it hasn't been.
Rich, are you in agreement?
What happens when Ken doesn't want to spend that money anymore? He says.
Well, there you go.
Ronnie says
I might
Ford,
wear Coventry and get in Super League.
Ronnie says Ford at York deserves a chance of coaching at a higher level. You're sure he can get the best run players.
What if York are playing at a higher level next year?
Hopefully they will be.
Barry says it was in one of the rugby papers about the Catalan directors after cast so that they won't be coming to the UK while ever the refs are not giving them a fair crap of the whip. So, been here for the last 3 years.
Oh, so that's the excuse that they're not coming now because they're officials. Well, that is absolutely pathetic, isn't it?
Peter says you can't make an omelette without cracking Scully's head, the spinach. Dave Sharple says Gary speaks his mind, a spade is a spade. My dad thinks highly of him, remembers him coaching one of the amateur county sides when dad was with Lancashire.
Do you know Mr. Sharples?
I can't say I do, but thanks for the respect. Thank you very much. Mm.
Yeah. Craig says Gary's jealous of other coaches going after jobs he's after. You don't want to get jobs you've got.
I think he may well have been there. I'm done that gig.
I think I've repeated many, many times on this show, I'm not interested in coaching again.
Unless it was Jamaica.
Only at rep level. You know, that's, I reckon I've got something to offer at rep level from a point of view where, you know...
Well, it's interesting, Leon Price has come out and concurred with your thoughts about halfbacks. Mm.
Price decries treatment of young halfbacks.
These thoughts Gary Schofield's been making for years. I've been saying this for the last 20 years since I retired, and certainly the last 15 years anyway, but anyway.
Okay.
But that's not going to change, Mark, because one thing for sure, clubs are not going to employ halfback coaches. That is not going to change.
No. Okay.
I.e., from halfback coaches who like who have been involved, certainly Sean Long was, Lee Breers has, Tommy Martin has, you know, some of them halfbacks, they did like to kick drop goals. Mmm, interesting one. And it's easy to set up, you know, it's easy to do. You don't
if
have to be an expert.
You tell me it is. I'm only asking.
It is, Phil. Eh? Even me old Mukamaski could kick drop goals, and he wasn't an expert. Eh?
It's like the 1998 Football World Cup. We all know who bottled the penalties for England in the shootout against Argentina. Are the Leeds Rhinos players bottling it when it comes to drop goal opportunities? Are they passing the buck to Richie Myler and they don't have the bottle to do it themselves?
Get rich, get in the boat in.
Need more sleep. Neil says, will the Hearns be more inclined to invest and promote rugby league if there was a strong, successful London side in the Super League? I love my London side, but can't see them returning to the top in its current format. We're effectively now just an academy for Super League clubs.
It's interesting. Will be the reaction Toronto get to taking a game to London this week. Not taking it to the Broncos, chose to take it to the Scholars. Feel that there's a big Canadian community out there that they can tap into and will come and support them. And you wonder whether that's a way of reinvigorating the game in the capital, maybe.
6:30 start at the New River Stadium against Halifax. I mean, they should get a decent crowd.
That's not Halifax, Nova Scotia, is it?
No. No.
Not yet. They're coming in 2021.
Halifax fans will travel. They like a trip out.
Not if it's on TV, sure.
My mate Nick from Halifax, who's a big Halifax fan, yeah, they're like a good day out, the Halifax fans, and he was just saying that they're delighted to sign. Is it QLT the sign?
Yeah, made his debut.
Yeah, Halifax scored a try, so yeah, they're delighted with that. But they'll take a good following, Halifax, and I say,
well, they're on the fringes now of overtaking London, aren't they, on the league ladder? If they win that, they'll go above them into the top four.
Yeah, the Halifax fans travel well, and they say Nick and the boys, they'll be enjoying it. I know they listen to the show every week.
Should Huddersfield look at Richard Marshall
as a potential
coach?
Why not? Another good British coach,
he's done a really good job with limited resources.
Phil, my question is, did Huddersfield look at any British coaches? And the indication is they haven't, which I find absolutely pathetic. I do.
I think if they've gone for Simon Wolford, they haven't. Because he's not coming with a reputation.
Nicholas has sent us a message. He asked us where he's in print. You're in 4020 magazine, so I've got it here in front of me. But I don't know if you can see it because I'm probably not on camera. But he says the Toronto game is £5 if you've got a Canadian passport to go and watch it. Free if you've got a Samoan, Fijian, or other Pacific Islanders.
Which is a really clever way of marketing it.
Get involved.
Should have sold QLT the week after. Mm.
Needed the room for Darcy. I have to say Darcy Bustle, though. She's a ballerina. She's not playing for. Toronto, Darcy Lussick. Where should you get Darcy Bustle to do the pre-match entertainment, the Challenge Cup final or something?
Possibly.
Is that the cup? Nicholas says if Toronto gets Super, he's going to send us some maple whiskey.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, so there's. So come on, Toronto, get your fingers out.
Get your fingers out quickly. Eh? It's all about consistency. So, yeah, consistency for Wakefield. Consistency for who else?
Consistency of maple syrup.
Yes.
Right, legend, it's prediction time.
Yes.
Salford St Helens.
Salford Saints, well, as they say, Salford's are playing well, they're playing very well. They won't be intimidated. Saints, a bit of quality. This is going to be an interesting one, isn't it? But you just look at maybe the big game experience St Helens, which it is a big game. I'm going to go Saints by 8.
It's a real test for Salford this week if they can back up that result. My worry would be if Rob Louis isn't fit, and for that reason I will go for St Helens.
I'll go for Saints as well.
Yeah. I am also going for St Helens. That's not because I don't like Salford. No. I don't want anyone complaining. But I think it'll be a decent game. Looking forward to that one. Castleford Wakefield, Friday night.
Well, I've already said it earlier in the show, and I just think Castleford are by Wakefield. I do, and a big derby and all that, but I'm going Castleford by 20.
I think both teams need a reaction. I don't think there'll be 20 points difference between them. Darryl Powell really upset about the inconsistency in second halves. Draw. That's my yearly draw.
Draw?
Yep.
I hope
Phil,
all the
Richard?
I hope all the media go to Widnes or Warrington so there's more buffet for us. Castleford.
Mark, hold on. Kaplan, why have you went for draw?
Because, right, no, move on,
move on. I think it'd be a draw, that's why.
Warrington versus
Huddersfield. You might as well just ignore this one. Right,
No, I'm going to make this harder.
Who are you
right?
going for Castleford?
Warrington v Huddersfield, I'm putting the spread at 36, because we're all going to go for Warrington, so are they going to win by 30, more than 36 or less than
30? Well, I was going to say two less. I was saying Warrington and 34.
So you're going under then?
Yeah, 34.
OK. Phil?
Under.
Under 36.
Yeah, against my better judgment, I'll go unders as well.
Unders.
You've gone slightly high there.
I'm going high. Elsewhere, Widnes take on Wigan.
Jimmy Kinehorse making his debut for Widnes.
Widnes seem to do well against Wigan, don't they, there? But as I said, the Warriors, they're just they're outstanding at the moment, aren't they? Delighted for Wayne, delighted for the way that they're playing. Wigan for me. I'm going Wigan by 14.
Okay, Phil?
Widnes.
Oh, he's messing about now.
Yeah, but if we all go for the same, there's not.
Phil, I think Widnes will get confidence from winning 90 this week.
Listen, Phil, we're an intelligent show
here.
I think Widnes would.
Although you said this the last 2 weeks, and the person you've been wrong. Has got
right. Well, I'll tell you what then. Do you know what? If he's right, Mr. Kaplan, and Widnes win, right, next week, we're all going out for a curry. I'm taking us all out after the show if Widnes win. I'm telling you.
Hello, is that Dennis?
Dennis.
Franny? Come on, get him whipped up, boy. Get him whipped up.
Wigan.
Wigan all round, barring Phil. I wonder if he's been on that maple syrup
again. He's been on that syrup again, hasn't he?
Catalan Hull.
I'm going for the black and whites. Leslie, if you're listening, wherever you are in Thailand, I like Hull, always have liked Hull, so there. I'm going Hull, I'm going to black and whites by 14.
Yeah, I'm going Hull.
Minus 8 on the coupon, that's tempting. Hull.
I'm going to go Catalan.
Tell you what.
What was the derision?
Hull KR Leeds. Oh, Leeds, aren't we?
It's Leeds, isn't it? Simple as that. Not enough quality, Hull KR Rovers. It's Leeds by 14. Really? Now, Phil.
I think Leeds will bounce back from two defeats with victory at Hull KR.
Drop goal?
Yeah, they got something like Brias to just come on and do a drop goal. Did he get 5 once?
They don't need Lee Brias. I can teach him how to do drop goals.
He got more in one game than Lee's can muster in a career.
It was hilarious, that game. Because he was doing it. I'll go for Leeds. Yeah.
Leeds for me. There you go.
But the big game is Doncaster Bradford in League One.
Go on then. Where are we going? It's live on Proper Sport.
Hold on. Keighley and Whitehaven's a big game as well, so...
Move on.
Yeah. What do you mean, move on?
They get enough fair time
big
on
game.
This show.
Okay, then. Big game. Doncaster, Bradford. I'm going Doncaster. I'm going Doncaster. Going Doncaster by 7.
Bradford. But I think it will be the game of the weekend.
Draw.
I'm going Doncaster as well. I think at home they'll take some beating. The top two in League One should be a cracker.
If only you could see it. Oh, you can.
You can watch it on Proper Sport.
Possibly.
Along with the thousands of others that will watch it.
Unless the home side decide you can.
Possibly.
No, I think they've all sorted that out, I do believe. I think Doncaster are quite a forward-thinking club, so I don't see there'll be an issue there.
But if you're thinking about it, going, go.
Go, yeah. Don't let us put you off going. Yeah. Look, there's going to be low. It'd be a good atmosphere.
Yeah, absolutely.
Be a decent crowd.
Absolutely.
You have to when you get home.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. What else you'd like to add, Legend? You've got about a minute and a half if you want to waffle on.
No, mate, no.
All right, well, that's the loop. basically, I've got to tell you, as I am contractually obliged to these days, that it is proper Rugby League is brought to you by Pontefract Racecourse, who hosts their third annual Rugby League evening on Monday, 11th of June. Meet the players, coaches from Castleford Tigers, Wakefield Trinity, Huddersfield Giants, Featherstone Rovers will all be coming along. There's a great night of racing on offer with six top-quality races, including the Mr. Wolf Sprint, which commemorates one of the Ponty all-time greats. Bring your season ticket along and get grandstand or paddock entry to Pontefract's Rugby League evening for just a fiver. You can get VIP tickets from £42 for adults, £10 for children. It's a perfect chance to get up close to your Rugby League favourites. For more details or to book, visit pontefract-races.co.uk. I guarantee you will have a good evening. We will be there. We will be back next week. We are at Cass on Friday, getting stuck into the buffet, so we're looking forward to that. And then we're at Bulls are at Doncaster on Sunday. So, yeah, getting ripped in, legend. Are you ready?
I am getting ripped in.
Are you playing out this Friday, or are you normally busy? Are you,
no, I'm here Friday, yeah. I'm there Friday, yes.
We'll be there. Phil, thank you as ever. You don't forget you can download the podcast. You can subscribe to it, leave us a nice comment. You can abuse Scully, we'll accept that. thanks to Rich, thanks to you for listening. We will be back next week.